Yeah, Film Vault.
Yes, Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. That's Anderson.
Yep.
I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today. Top five divas.
Yeah.
Top five diva characters. Top five characters. We exhibit diva qualities.
Inspired by Brian.
Now let's...
Inspired by Brian existence.
It was my idea, actually. It was my idea.
I know. It came up because I was calling you a diva and seeing other people had called you a diva.
No one's ever called me.
Would you stop
How
screaming?
How dare you? How dare you?
This is a great topic. I'm really happy we're doing it.
Yeah.
I thought that the land of divas in cinema would be fruitful. I thought the soil would be rich.
I have five good ones, but not a huge pool to choose from.
I know. I mean, we could have done all Disney characters if we wanted to.
Sure.
I mean, but it's funny, too. You look up divas just to make sure you're getting it right. Mm-hmm. And like the actual, I mean, it's been bastardized so much and evolved so much as slang does. You know, the original term diva just means like somebody who's a very good opera singer.
An opera singer. Yeah,
just a very good opera singer.
All five minor opera singers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Way to stay right on track.
Number five, Citizen Kane.
OCD. Citizen Kane.
Her, his girlfriend. Remember, he wanted to make her like an opera singer.
I saw it eight times in the fucking film school, and I barely remember it. Mm. What's that tell you about that movie? Overrated.
It tells me more about you.
Settle down. Oh no, I remember movies I've seen once that are great that aren't Citizen. Fuck.
How many females on your list?
One, two.
Same. How much crossover?
One.
Yeah.
Maybe two. Maybe two. Not a whole lot of lists out there. This is pretty much off the top of the head. I'm really excited to hear the listener top five.
I'm saying
this
one
is actually
most.
One of the weeks where I was going to kind of take a little peek at the listener list, and perhaps happy accident, my phone kept Facebook kept failing for whatever reason. It kept just unexpectedly quitting. So I'm like, I guess that'll be a total surprise. I rarely look at the listener list because I don't want to be skewed, but I was really curious. This week, so I'm looking forward to hearing. I won't be surprised if their number one's my number one because I have kind of an obvious choice. But it's just so great. It's
my
just
number
so
one's
great.
A film titan, if you will, a legendary film performance.
Mine is not. Really? I go way back in time too.
As do I.
People that are dead. Talking about people that are dead, Brian, that were divas in cinema.
Oh, okay.
Real quick, speaking of cinema and people that aren't dead yet, Groupers trucking along. Oh man,
boy.
We're so close to actually having this thing cast. I'm very excited. I'm doing one final call, if you will. It's the third callback for a few of these actors. I'm doing camera tests and chemistry reads. The two girls I can't decide on because they're just so dissimilar, but so good in their own ways. And I'm kind of self-indulging by having them come back a third time. This time I'm having them all come all the way out to Panavision, which is off the beaten track. Mm. But it's a cool place. I mean, you know, if you get an invite to Panavision, I think that, you know, I'm rationalizing here, but I hope that I'm not asking too much of these actors. But we're doing some chemistry reads where, you know, I see how they bounce off each other, and I'm doing camera tests with the two girls. Anyways, that being said, last week I asked for a little bit more help, a little bit of a soft push here. I said I had extra inventory for a rainy day, which we have already stumbled across, and things are going swimmingly. I've sold almost all of the Cold Cockle production shirts as we record this. I think I have a few extra larges. When I say a few, I mean like two or three, and like four or five mediums left, and a couple 2XLs. Very, very few. Very
so
limited.
Gain or lose some weight quickly if you're a large.
Or if you'd be interested, it gets you $50, gets you a shirt, patches, a patch, and a couple stickers, and support. You're supporting. Let me also tell you that the Grouper shirts, the actual official Grouper shirts, different from the Cold Cockle production shirts, Grouper shirts are in, Brian, and oh, they look glorious. They got the Cold Cockle logo on the front, on the like a little patchwork, like on the left breast, right?
Does that worry
and
you?
And then the
to
Groupers,
the Cold
patch.
Cockle thing on the front.
Hey, man, it's edgy. I love it. I love the logo. It brings me joy. I could see how, you know, if you fled during the Cold War and, you know, Gorbachev was not your friend, you might be upset by it, especially if you're Ukrainian. But, hey, we're taking it back. We're making it ours.
There you go. We're reappropriating it.
Right. And it's not a hammer sickle. It's a camera and a light. So if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go over to AndersonCallen.com and check out the shirts and the swag over there. I will have pictures of the Grouper shirts. Also, there's only like maybe 10 of the DVD limited edition numbered DVDs that I'm going to be making available. That's in the care pack. That's a little more expensive, a little more pricey. It's $200, but I've sold a few of those as well, and those are running thin. By the time that we shoot this movie, those will all have been spoken for. So if you want to get in early and take a gamble and think maybe this movie might mean something one day,
be worth having it on your shelf.
You'll have one of the original pressings.
In your baby's room.
I'm only getting 100 pressed, and majority of them are going to listeners who opted in for that, but That gets you the like a shirt, the DVD, sticker, patch, shot glass, CCP shot glass.
Do you think there's
sweet.
Some sick deprived list deprived?
Get you the script.
The listeners who
take it to the
put,
movie.
Would put the merch in the baby's room. You know, a little signed copy of Groupers.
Why is that deprived?
I don't know.
It's not about baby
what
death.
What happens when the baby's old enough, 2 years old? Daddy, what's that?
It's a movie. It's a very fine film.
It's a fine film.
It's not like you're putting Skripsky film in there. It's not like you're putting a Serbian film in there. Should we get right to it? Let's get to Flick Fest.
Let's confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Anderson, I don't know if you remember you signed me a film.
Yeah, you know what? I hooked you up, too.
What?
Do you realize that, yeah, it was Punishment.
You hooked me up?
And don't think that you're off the hook now that you've seen this one because you've seen my top five.
I realize there will never be a hook.
No, because there's constantly films. In fact, I got listeners, thank you, Jeff, who are sending me like long lists with movies that I've forgotten about that will be just as troubling to you as this one. But you're like being a diva and like sending a text to both Logan and I going,
that's interesting.
I can't find the movie.
I can't find
and then
the
you're
movie.
Like,
you
Logan,
what I said?
Logan, you find it for me.
Your text made me turn off the thing in my car where it sends a notification to my car system whenever I get a text.
That's fine.
I was like, this is so annoying. I was just trying to listen to a podcast.
That's fine.
Look, Brian, at one point, I assigned Brian a movie. We assigned each other a movie every single week. And Brian was so at a loss because I sent him a free YouTube version of it. But it wasn't subtitled in English. It was subtitled in something else,
so
in German.
So you were so pleased to have found a subtitled uncut version,
right.
Finally.
Yeah, 720p. The uncut version is a little bit hard
to
find.
Here it is. Enjoy. Yeah. And I click on it, and it's got like another language for subtitle. So it's in a foreign language with a third foreign language.
Are you talking about the final version? Anyways.
No, you sent me one with foreign language subtitles.
That was the original one, and then you were throwing a fit, going, I can't find it, and calling upon our producer, who was off the clock, saying, find me the movie, Logan.
Okay.
Like, it's his job.
I'm glad you said that, because people are going to believe you until I tell them the
truth. That's absolutely how it happened.
Here's my
text. And then I'm in traffic, Brian. Mm-hmm. I'm on the 5 freeway in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and what am I doing? I'm scrolling through YouTube
bumper
feeds
bumper
of Srpski film, of a Serbian film, and I'm I'm finding good ones that look great and they have the English subtitles, but I gotta fucking find the spot in the middle of the movie that I know was cut from the from the cut version, because you can't see, you have to see the uncut version. So I'm actually looking for horrific scenes while in traffic on the 5 freeway.
Makes sense. So I texted Anderson after last week's episode. I sat down to watch Srpski. Serbian film.
Very disturbing film that Brian will get to here in a moment.
I texted him with a screenshot of the foreign language subtitles, said, you fucking idiot, you sent me a version with foreign subtitles.
Yes.
Anderson's reply,
that's
shit,
nice.
Find uncut.
Yes, that's
I
right.
said, it took you months to find it. Now you want me to
no,
do it before
months.
Wednesday?
No, months. I found it as we were doing the show.
Okay.
Last week.
Logan replied, very funny, just make up your own dialogue. Uh-huh. And I said, is there a dubbed version? All right. Anderson says, now you got to find it. Now you got to find it. Yeah. Look on Amazon. Look on iTunes.
Yeah, just find it.
At which point I said, I wanted to break the tie because I'm going crazy here. I'm literally going nuts. I said, Logan, quote, Logan, we need your help. Can you find a reliable, legal, non-shady site where I can watch this? iTunes, Hulu, Vudu, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. If so, I'll happily pay and watch it. If not, start thinking of a new movie. This is fucking ridiculous.
Let me cut in real quick. Yeah. Why couldn't you look up on those sites?
It's not my responsibility.
If you assign me a movie, you don't hold my hand and say, here's the movie.
If I assign you a movie, I got to make sure it's fucking available. Or if it's not, I'll hand you the DVD.
It is available, Brian. You can send away on FuckFlix. They'll send it to you.
So lo and behold, Anderson, literally, as I'm doing this, I emailed like, this is fucking impossible. I can't do it. I actually said, fine, capital letter. No, you said, you're such a helpless fuck. Which I said, fine, you find it for me.
I did.
Show us all how easy it is.
While in traffic.
And just then, an email pops up, says, you have received a video from Anderson. And I said, oh, shit. Oh, I feel stupid. Anderson found a version while driving, and I've been looking for the last half hour.
That's
I must be an idiot.
Right.
So sheepishly, tail between my legs. Logan, you got that clip ready?
What? There's a clip?
Sheepishly.
What's happening?
Tail between my legs.
Yes.
I click on it. Yeah. I start to watch. Here's the logo. Right.
Did the feds come to the door?
No. No one came to the door. I turn it on. Here's the logo. Here's the scene with the porno playing. A little kid watching the porno movie.
Right, that's how it opens.
And there's all sorts of porn going on.
Right.
And then Logan, just start playing some random.
I know what you're doing.
Point.
Who cares? Whatever.
That's not a random dialogue.
Just
you can explain what this is. No, it's not that
I'm,
big.
I'm scrubbing through this entire movie now.
Logan, just start playing.
It's difficult, right?
There's not very many scenes with just dialogue.
I was encountering that problem too on the 5 freeway. Like, God, just get to a place where you're talking and not banging with blood on you. Come on.
Oh, hang on. This might be one here.
А, подается вода.
Если бы из-за денег, я бы давно тебя бросила. Ушла бы к твоему брату.
Keep going.
И ты бы променяла бедную порнозвезду на
плохого порнозвезду.
There's English subtitles.
There is not.
Yes, there was.
There's not.
What?
There is not. Logan, there are English subtitles.
There's absolutely English. Go to the settings. There's absolutely English subtitles. You got to go to the CC on there.
Is there English subtitles?
Dude, I found it in my car. I'm watching
it. It says English sub on the title, but...
Do you go to the settings? There's English. I was watching it with
Anderson
the English settings.
Anderson sent me a version.
Yeah, you have to click. Closed captioning.
Anderson
way
sent
to look,
me a version.
Get a new cord, for fuck's sake.
Anderson
poor
sent me a
Logan
version.
Logan sounds like he's an android.
Of Serbian film, in presumably Serbian, with some other language.
Russian.
Some guy talking. A man, not actors, a person talking over it, describing what they're saying.
But there's English subtitles on there, so you can get through it.
And I replied, you stupid, stupid man.
Yes,
you want me to watch this version?
Yes.
And so you know what? I'll watch that version.
But you didn't watch it with the subtitles?
I watched that version.
You didn't watch with subtitles?
It wouldn't work on mine. It popped up with the whatever. I didn't know there's English subtitles. It just
you
had,
gotta
it,
just
it had foreign
go
language
to settings.
Subtitles. How am I supposed to know that?
From what I saw, you don't need subtitles in it anyways.
Okay. Well, no, you absolutely need subtitles. How are you going to hear him yelling to the heavens, newborn porn?
A Serbian film. It's directed by Srdan Spaksic.
You're getting this one again, bud.
I'm
gonna show you how to work settings on your computer, you stupid, stupid man. If I could do it on my knee while driving with my other knee in rush hour traffic, you can't do it from the comfort of your own fucking home?
We open with a hardcore porno scene on a motorcycle.
Porno? Don't say porno. Just say porn.
A child
from the
is
70s?
Revealed to be watching the porn on DVD.
Yes, thank you.
And then his parents come home. One of whom is the male star of said porn.
Mm-hmm.
We then cut to the man having lunch with a dominatrix friend of his.
Right.
She's dressed in a leather bustier and lace stockings, despite being at an outdoor lakeside.
This is like restaurant. Watching the movie for the blind. Yeah.
Oh, it gets better. A man in a white linen suit, presumably a mutual friend, comes by and sexually assaults the woman.
Right.
He grabs her breasts and he kisses her. Again, despite being in a very public open space.
Right.
She leaves the two men. The two men have a conversation that somehow involves a stuffed bunny.
Mm-hmm.
The man returns home, and his wife, girlfriend, unclear, put the young boy to bed.
I can't believe you didn't watch with the fucking subtitles, you idiot.
Once the child is asleep, they pour themselves cocktails and pop in a porno movie on a cassette, starring himself.
Just porn, please.
The woman attempts foreplay, but the man seems more interested in watching himself on TV.
That's right.
She slaps him, which seems to get his libido up, and he immediately fucks her from behind.
A little rough trade, yeah.
The next day, the man gets into the back of a BMW and is driven to meet a bearded man, who shakes his hand and literally won't let go for an absurd amount of time. It's a Donald Trump handshake.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing this for all 120 pages of the script?
Logan, how much do I have here?
Oh, that's a lot.
Oh, fuck. Come on, dude.
I can keep going.
That's like the whole movie.
It is literally the whole movie.
Well, then you weren't watching the movie. You were just like, you were...
I watched the whole movie.
Entertaining yourself.
I've transcribed the entire film. Should I keep going?
Just get to the part. Dude, just do the...
Which part are you talking about?
I can't wait to fuck you over somehow. The next horrible fucking about friends you make me watch, or just friends, whatever. Sound down. Child on my knee as I'm talking to the wife, maybe cooking some Blue Apron. That's how I'm going to watch your next movie. Look at you combing through your own notes.
I'm looking for the part.
I don't believe you could do that.
I could do that. I could absolutely do that. I know how to multitask.
I don't believe the film lover in you will let yourself do that. Or the OCD.
It's a valid point. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, with one of Brian's movies, I think I might be able to muster some rationalizations there.
There's a part here where Milos enters a room with naked, bloody bodies on the floor and cameras set up on tripods. He flashes back to the same room where he is forced by the bearded man to have sex with a motionless body that is under covers and thus obscured. The masked man from before joins him in having sex with the second motionless body next to him. The masked man is unmasked and revealed to be the man in the linen suit. The bodies are unsheathed and revealed to be the man's girlfriend and boy. The girlfriend wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more.
Yeah, we're not going to do this, Brian. I understand.
I can do as much as you want.
You tried to, you know, create a bit out of your...
I tried to create a bit. This whole thing has been a bit.
It has not been a bit.
I'm just so glad this gag is over.
Brian, no. It's not over. That's what I'm saying. Because I got so many more in the canon if you continue to fuck with me. I understand that lately you've been cool, but when you have me watching movies like Babies, and you have me wasting my time...
That was literally 4 years ago.
Yeah, it still sticks with me. It's still on my craw. When you're on this show saying with a straight face to myself, to Logan, to the listeners, that one, the Spike Lee movie, what's it called?
Inside Man.
Inside Man.
Oh, you should watch that.
is better than Nocturnal Animals, like, you must be punished. You must suffer. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, I don't make the rules.
It's okay. I understand you're limited.
How am I limited? Please explain. I'm trying to get to Okay, you know what? This is boring. I'm done with this. I do have a little aside, though. This is a fun story between my wife and I. Just last night, in fact, I was talking about... I was talking about how much I enjoy doing Cinema Dicks with Greg, right? Mm. Sorry, it just feels a little bit personal, but it's funny. I believe, trust me, there's a kicker here. So I'm like, you know, I've always loved talking to Greg about movies. You know, going back to 1996 is when we first started talking about movies. We both love him. He's like an encyclopedia. He knows movies. And I said, you know, it's not Brian's fault. It's just he doesn't have the same encyclopedia, you know, that Greg does. It's like, to borrow a phrase from Corolla, it's like playing handballs against the curtain some weeks with Brian. Sure. But it's not his fault. And I was sticking up for him. I'm like, because movies aren't like his passion.
Sticking
you know what
up
I mean?
For me. He's sticking
it's
up.
Not your fault. Movies aren't his passion, I say. And she says to me quite innocuously, she goes, "What are his passions?" And I say, with like apparently disdain, I didn't realize as I was saying it, but she brought it to my attention. I say, "Sports, trivia, wine." And she goes, "You had such anger when you said his interests." But those are your interests, right?
Those are some of the interests. It's true.
Pretty much them.
Movies is number one.
What are we doing? This is not a service. This show is serving no purpose right now.
I watched your Serbian film.
How'd you like the one scene with the large bald man and the pregnant woman? You can't even comment. I shouldn't even let you talk anymore. You saw it.
I didn't know what was going on until it was happening.
Of course not, because you had no reference point.
Right. I had no reference
point. He had an earpiece in, Brian, and they were telling him exactly what he had to do, and he had to do exactly what they told him to do, or else they'd kill his family. All right? And he was a porn star. There's a lot going on.
That adds a level to it.
It's a political film that you just... I saw a movie. It's a film that's in theaters now. How many movies you got there?
I got two more.
Okay, I got two right now. So I saw a film. It's in theaters now. I lost a bet last week, evidently, because critics love Keanu Reeves and they don't want to give him bad reviews. I think that might... It's a theory. I think I might be right. John Wick, Chapter 2. Mm. This is a movie that I kind of wouldn't have seen probably if it weren't for the high rating. So I'm like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And directed by Chad Stahelski, who was mainly known for stunts before this. He was a stunt supervisor, stuntman.
Did he use John Wick 1?
Yes, this is his baby. And this movie follows John Wick. Believe it or not, Brian, they brought him back. You know, he's supposed to be a retired hitman, and now he's back in the game. And
that was
chapter
the first one.
Yeah, now, and guess what? They got him back in again. Just when I come out, they pull me back in. I guess that old trope, right? He doesn't want to be in, Brian. He just wants to be out, even though he's the boogeyman. He's the scariest of all hitmen. Which is a little bit hard to buy.
I remember that being the part I liked the best about the first one, that the stunts were wild.
Stunts are great. It opens up with a remarkable stunt chase sequence.
I'm talking about the first one now. I haven't seen this one, but I remember the first one. The mythology, the whole backstory behind the society of hitmen and this hotel they all like lived in or worked out of, right? Or,
right.
Like, the whole thing. I was like, I want to know more about that.
The Continental. There's more of that, less explanation, and if you believe what they'd have you believe, like most of the people that walk amongst us live in the secret society and they're actually hitmen. It's just an absurd, I guess fun, but absurd setup and you know, world building with the coins. And
that's right, the coins.
Give me Kingsman. I'll ride that train with you there. Give me Raid Redemption all fucking day. Give me Looper. Crank. Give me Crank. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Not Looper.
Well,
Looper,
Looper had that world rather than the gold.
No, but I'm talking about like action.
Okay,
absurd,
I thought you were talking about the
over
worlds.
The top. Give me Hardcore Henry from last year. This one, yes, some of the set pieces were great and some of the locations. They shoot all over Rome and they got some great locations. And I guess some good stunts, but it's like male ballet, you know? And there's definitely a gun fetish going on here. Like Tarantino loves his feet. This guy loves his guns. And yeah, I can't help but watch it, maybe because I'm getting a little older, longer in the tooth, and I got a kid. Not that I'm like anti-NRA or anything, but it's just so... I'm sure that people that are anti-gun are going to go watch this movie and enjoy it and not even realize that it's almost like a giant ad for arms. I mean, they will just linger on guns.
Like gun porn. Like gun porno.
There's like a number of scenes where he's talking about weaponry and like they're showing him different guns and whatnot, and they'll just linger on it. Sure, they're pretty looking and whatnot, but I 2 hours and 2 minutes, and I'm just like, how is this like whatever it is on Rotten Tomatoes, like 90% or whatever?
That's right. It was 92 last week. Last week gambled.
Like
something
and,
like that.
And now if I couldn't come up, this is not a genre that's made for me, but I just cited four movies that I really enjoyed that are of the over-the-top, crazy stunt action. And just, how many times you got to see people shooting other people in the head, you know? Yeah,
there's got to be something else.
And I
made you watch Shoot 'Em Up, right? Or no, Smoke and Aces. Actually, both of them.
Both of them, yes, yeah. You did, yes.
So those are another.
They're both okay.
Good examples.
I like them both more than this one. I like Keanu Reeves from all accounts. He's a really nice guy, and I like him in certain roles. But he's just not this guy. He's not the scary guy that, you know, that he needs to be in this. And I know he's doing a lot of his own stunts. Ah, the lesbian chick from Orange is the New Black with all her tattoos on her hand. She's in there trying to be a mute, scary chick. It's like, I'm not buying it. Mm-hmm. No, John Wick. No.
No.
I'll probably have to go see John Wick 3, though, because I'm this fucking far down the rabbit hole, and then that's it.
Yeah,
I'll give him 3.
You're on the line.
I'll give him 3. Yeah. But other than the set pieces and a few other, for every one cool stunt where it's like, oh, that's kind of creative and neat, you know, because like there's creative stuff. Like, it's like Jackie Chan. This is a very Jackie Chan-esque movie with less fun. Mm. For every cool stunt there's like maybe 30 to 50 gunshots and people like headshots. Dude's just killing people left and right. And now they got the CGI, so it looks like first-person shooter almost times. Eh. I mean,
I'm on the fence about even seeing it. I'll see it at some point, probably not in the theaters.
I did not give a fuck about the storyline or any of the characters until halfway through, and there is some kind of a funny... I guess he's the main bad guy in the movie. Antagonist, and he... I can't give anything.
I remember
away.
The last time it was the but Russian guys who like wanted to buy his car.
Right. It opens up with that. It opens up tying that in. Yeah. Peter Stormare is great in the beginning.
Nice.
And then the last one had Lily Allen's brother. I'm going to forget. Alvin Allen from Reek from Game of Thrones. He's not in this one because he didn't. But
is there a puppy?
There is a dog.
Oh.
Full grown dog. Yeah, it's just there are creative, really fun stunt action films that I crank, especially Crank 1. Fucking had a great time.
Sure.
But this one is more, aren't we good at doing stunts rather than check out this cool stunt you've never seen before?
Sure.
So that's that. John Wick.
Not innovative.
It's kind of surprising that the old critics over there love it so much. Rotten Tomatoes is just, I almost want to just abandon it. I know it's a bit on this show, but it's just, it's so far from the mark. If they had every critic.
It's the closest
critic,
we have to a true consensus.
If they had every critic, right now, like on IMDb, it's like mid eights right now, which is huge because it's all dudes, evidently, young dudes that rate movies over there on IMDb. But like if they took a consensus, the best way to do it would be like every critic is on a 1 to 5 star rating.
You know who does
and
that?
And you take
Metacritic.
Metacritic—that's what
they
you
do
look
a pretty
at.
Decent job of that. Where they kind of I think they evaluate each review and they kind of give a score based on they really liked it or they kind of liked it or
well,
kind of
like iTunes, right? Like our rating, we got the deserved 4.5 stars because everyone gives us 4 stars. Yeah, but if that was the case, I think this is probably an average of 3 stars. I bet most critics like say I don't dislike it, but I don't love it. Man. So, but then they give a thumbs up and you get like some absurd rating that wins you a bet.
All right. Wait, why is it winning you a bet?
It won you a bet because it's what we gambled on. I
thought you meant the critics were winning a bet by rating. Okay.
And if you think I'm not nervous about where you're going to sign me this week, you're wrong.
Can I tell you something honestly? I'm thinking about it. I feel genuinely bad about Serbian film. I'll admit that I was the dumb one who couldn't figure out that...
English subtitles?
Subtitle.
No, I think what happened, I know you. You're like, you know what? Fuck it. This is all he's got. He's not giving me the real thing.
Oh, no, that's exactly what I thought.
I'm going to start taking notes. And then you started like enjoying your own note-taking.
That was pretty thrilling.
Yeah. That's what happened.
I, like the rest of the world, enjoy my writing. No, I got to, it was actually, you had the exact same, you had the exact right reaction, but it was a few minutes earlier after I was like, you know what? I don't even want to find a good version. This is what he sent me. This is what I'm watching.
I mean, I found them. I'm not getting into it. I mean, there's all sorts of versions out there. The one that I found, you did have English subtitles.
And you know what? It was uncut, and I watched the uncut version. And
you have no idea. It was actually quite an interesting little movie, and I love the sounds. The score was great.
The score was pervasive for me because I was trying to ignore two people talking over each other.
Mm-hmm. What? While writing your
while
own
writing
little,
my own notes.
Your own little quips.
Would you like to know more?
I don't want to hear any more quips, Bri.
Because I can write a lot more. or read a lot more, as it were.
Why don't you publish that? Let's see how many people enjoy it.
I should.
No, you should not.
I really should.
You can send it to me and I'll put it on the site.
Yeah, on the website.
No, don't. No, what?
Oh, yes. Maybe it'll become the new plot synopsis on IMDb. Oh, that would be. Is there a plot synopsis for this on IMDb?
I'm sure there is.
And it's like a wiki. I think you could just add one.
Add one, yeah.
I don't have like an IMDb
account. Yours
does
not belong there because you have no fucking idea what's going on.
I wrote, it's actually quite general. It's like, I call the guy the man in the linen suit because that's all he was to me. Was he his agent? I assumed he was his agent.
You know, the only people that could get anything out of that are blind people.
Oh, God. Well, there's a guy who reviews movies who's blind, and he talks about all the sound and all the. He does. Anderson, was the guy in the linen suit? Was he the guy who ended up with the mask at the end, fucking his girlfriend? Mm. Was that his agent, or it was somehow
supposed to be like the government? It's supposed to be the man.
But in the movie, and in the context of the film, he knew them. He was like, it was like, it seemed like he was like setting up the deal.
Yeah, they worked in the shady industry that is porn.
Yeah,
together porno. And yes. Yeah, so we've done one movie or two movies. We're like an hour in. Let's go.
We're talking about Srpsky.
All right. We're done with Srpsky.
I had another question about Srpsky.
You might have to watch it again, though.
I mean, I may want to watch it again now that I know that I can have English subtitles. I want to know what they were talking about.
You're like a small child who wanders in the middle of a film. Donnie, you're out of your element. Let's go.
Oh, damn it.
Come on. Stop looking at your own notes and salivating.
I
don't want to check, but I wouldn't be surprised if you were too messing right now. Stop it.
Speaking of which, the agent character, the guy in the linen suit, my favorite scene was where he was at the guy's house. The guy wasn't there. He was out working, and he was at the guy's house with his girlfriend, who he had such a crush on. He couldn't help but like run off to their bathroom and just masturbate furiously.
Right. Yeah,
it's like, I love you so much. I have to release myself now.
Immediately, right.
I've liked a lot of people. I've never had
yours. You lack passion, Brian.
It's true. I have a passion. Like, I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. I saw a documentary. Uh-huh. Oh, boy. Very similar. I Am Not Your Negro.
Oh.
I Am Not Your Negro.
Let's talk this up.
Directed by Raoul Peck. Quote, literally at the beginning of the film, written by James Baldwin.
Yes.
Fuck. Are you kidding me?
What? It's based on an unfinished book.
It is based on James Baldwin's unfinished manuscript, Remember This House,
right.
Nominated for Best Documentary Feature, is the Rotten Tomatoes scores in the 90s.
I have a feeling we have different takes on this movie, so let's get to it.
We probably do. This tells the story of the civil rights struggle via this kind of unremarkable guy. Like James Baldwin, and the context of this film, I will fully say that I didn't know much about him going into it. Mm. In the context of this film, James Baldwin is not an interesting, remarkable, or really not very eloquent guy. Like he rambles. His writings, the writings I know from this film, I can't speak to other things. He rambles a lot.
It's unfinished.
Yeah, but
it's an unfinished book.
Okay, well then my criticism, my main criticism.
Oh no,
this movie,
is this writer Brian?
No,
attacking
no,
this?
It's a weird filmmaking choice to tell this epic story of the civil rights struggle. Really, the story, I guess the arc overall story is the civil rights struggle and the deaths of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Medgar Evers.
Right.
But the through line is the unfinished ramblings of James Baldwin, as voiced by Samuel L. Jackson.
It's James Baldwin's take.
Should I know? Am I not getting something I'm supposed to be getting?
Yes, I think you are. It's a different take, and it's a refreshing take, as far as I was concerned.
Really?
From James Baldwin, who I'm not that familiar with.
What did
you
learn?
Sounds like you are not that familiar with.
No, I didn't know.
Either. It's the same stories we've seen before, but I think it was told in a much more neutral, scientific. Let's figure this out and figure out a solution rather than it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. And I 13th, which is another really good documentary, but you can't help but watch that and just hate your ancestors, hate yourself for being white, and just hate humanity for all of the absurd things that have happened, especially in this country, to this point. Now, Baldwin's him living in France and coming back to the front lines, as he called it, because he felt like he was living a bourgeois life as a gay black man in Paris. And for him to come back to Harlem during this really tumultuous, hairy time in the civil rights movement in the 60s. And I found him to be a voice of reason. And in the limited bits of source footage that they had of him, I found him eloquent. And I liked what he had to say.
Oh, yeah. That part was, I didn't mean to say overall in his life. I meant the writings that Samuel L. Jackson was reading were much more rambling than they were cohesive.
That's what you're, okay. It's not tailor made to a wide audience. And the
say
first
wide audience?
Wide. Oh. the first or that the first 30 minutes or so, I was really having a hard time with this one until I kind of relinquished and kind of gave in and just accepted Samuel Jackson doing this very reserved, pulled back, beautiful performance. I loved what Sam did here. I didn't know he had that kind of range. He was great in this. I thought you would never not know. You could play that for 50 people on the street. I bet no one knows that Samuel Jackson.
There for the first 10 minutes, I was like, is this Samuel Jackson? Is this Samuel Jackson, right? It sounds like him a little bit, but then it doesn't.
And once this is a movie that does not go down smooth, but I think that it's a very interesting and honest, and there's not a whole lot of victimization here.
Yeah, this is not a traditional story.
Which is what I was expecting, which, you know, there's plenty of room for that when talking about the civil rights movement, which we've seen that in countless documentaries and films, right? But this movie is not pointing fingers. It's kind of looking at the American, this giant melting pot that was built on tobacco and slaves. Mm-hmm. As a human experiment, a massive experiment, and like, where do we go from here? What do we do?
Sure.
And I really appreciated that.
Okay. I felt very differently about it, even though I agree with a lot of what you said. I felt differently about the movie. I got a different reaction from me. I didn't know if this was a story about him or a story about civil rights. If it's him, there's nowhere near enough about him. Like, I know nothing more about this man at the end of the film than I do 5 minutes into the movie. Like, 5 minutes in, I got everything I know at the end about James Baldwin.
It's less about him and more just about his POV that got cut short a little bit. He, ironically, was not slain like these three figures that you named. But, you know, he died before he finished this book that the movie's based on. And perhaps it might come off as a bit clumsy that, you know, it was put together in such a way. But
this is an odd choice that you would tell such a grand story or
we've
important
seen it all
story.
Before, though. We know the story. We know Selma. We know, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So it was a refreshing take on it. And it was fairly dry.
Yeah.
But I appreciate
it. Yes, it was. To your point earlier, it is crazy to see the footage from that day and realize
it's
that
just, it's so sickening.
Well, just like there were so many minutes of footage and so many stills and so many images, I should say, of white teenagers at the school trying to everything they could to not integrate, like hold up the signs, you know, nigger go home.
Oh, Brian,
that's what they said. But and the poor black girl,
you can't do that.
The poor black girl going to school, and she's literally, there's pictures of her just sitting there stone faced, and the kids around her are literally leaning over and like either you can't, they're yelling at her, they're mocking her, they're making fun of her, whatever it is. And my thought is, a lot of these people are still alive.
Yeah.
What happened? Does this person's,
they got goiters?
That's probably true. But this person's children, grandchildren,
right,
great grandchildren, perhaps, are of movie watching age and going to the theaters and probably a little more progressive than your grandpa was. Like, do they say like, oh, they're like, I'm not trying to be a left coast elitist. I literally wonder, like, I wonder what some, like, if you go and that's your grandpa, like literally that's your grandfather or your grandmother up there holding the sign. You're like, well, how do you react? What is your take? What's your feeling?
You got shame, I would think.
I would think.
I had an uncle,
I felt
not by
shame,
blood, but he was
weird.
my uncle. I won't, you know, get into details, but took me out fishing one day back east, like Maryland area. And I was probably 14 maybe at the time. And he was talking very racist. We were watching a black family put their boat into the water and they're having some trouble. Yeah. And he shakes his head and he goes, them tabs just not too bright. Mm. And I was like, just mortified. Like, I didn't know. I couldn't wait to get away from this guy.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's like, rather, and you know, way too young, not equipped to have a conversation with the guy. Plus, he's set in his ways, long dead now. But yeah, when I see that, I don't know about you, but I have like a visceral reaction. Like, I want to get into the picture and I want to punch those people. Mm. And then I think I slow down. I go, wait. You know, it's easy for you to say that now because you had your upbringing and it's much different. Times have changed. You weren't born in that environment. And I actually try and insert myself into that environment where all my neighbors hate black people, all my friends hate black people, and that's one thing, right?
Get that drop.
But to be able to follow through and yell and spit in people's faces and even get physical with them, because I think that, you know, obviously if you're born in that environment, yes, you're going to have some preconceived notions and you might dislike a race. But to actually follow through with it and to be doing what you're describing, it's just, I fucking hate mobs, Brian. I hate them so much. And when they're ugly like this, I hate people that are flocking to go see a stupid movie that's not good. I hate that group, let alone the group that's trying to keep black people from going to school. Give me weapons.
What about the group that applauds after a movie?
Oh, the worst, especially when it's a bad movie.
People applauded after this movie.
Oh, you saw it in the theater.
It was so bad. It's funny, you know, it's funny.
All white people probably.
Oh, it's so much. Oh, yeah. Please, the theater you hate in West LA. Oh my God, so much white guilt. I heard people go, I'm sorry.
No, you didn't.
That's what they meant. It's funny you mentioned that you want to jump through the screen and punch them when you see that. My thought was, man, I'd love to take this footage or like this still and find this person if they're still alive and bring it to them and like film their reaction.
That would be a whole different film. Like, I would like really to go like and to say, see like, that.
What were you thinking? Are you still thinking this? Yeah. Do you root for, let's just pick Auburn. Do you root for Auburn? You're probably happy about Cam Newton.
There's that one documentary, and I've been told to watch it numerous times, but I think that's what it is. It's Germans after the war. They're interviewing them, going like, well, what was going on there? What were you thinking? Having like Jewish people interview them. Yeah, that's what happens in Look of Silence. That's a lot
is
of
kind
that.
Of, yeah, you're right.
A lot of that.
A little more defiant. A little more defiant.
Interesting.
Can I say, Christy's in Berlin right now.
Really?
And she just went to the wall. Literally, two hours.
The wall's back up?
No, there are portions that are still up. The portions she's at, literally 6 inches thick. Literally six
inches. Oh, that's it?
Thick. Yeah. The portions, really? It might have been thicker at certain portions, of course.
They sold it off in layers.
No kidding. Yeah. But she said the whole place is very, very, the feeling is that it hasn't gotten over World War II.
Christy is Brian's.
Yes, my she was on our show a couple weeks ago. I have to assume the audience remembers.
I think they're just starting to get over World War. In fact,
there's a pall that hangs over, is what she says.
I would think, yeah, right.
That was only
there's a movie actually out right now, and I
was just telling Brian about it. It's where to invade next. That Land of War documentary.
No, what's that?
Oh, he I know did that a segment is. On Germany, that area in Germany.
Oh, really? That same spot?
I mean, he talked about how Germany hasn't still
right.
Shows that they feel guilty about what happened.
Right. Yeah, and they're going to probably, until that generation is completely gone and dead. Land of Mine, which is out right now. Mm. I if I can get the balls up, Brian, I will see it. And
why is it for our balls?
Because it's such a great story based on a true life story, too. It's a foreign film, so you'll never see it. But
if there's a dub version where the guy talks over the guy.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's a German, Russian, and English dub version all at the same time. It's great when they all talk
to
each other.
Sounds like a chorus.
But it's the Germans, the youth movement, the Hitler's youth, they capture them. It's after the war and they're tasked with
the deprogram,
mining the beaches, right? Cause like they don't want, they're going to send the enemy that they conquered, these young kids out. So it's like teenage boys going and they got these fucking scenes, which I have a problem with car scenes cause I'm afraid of a car wreck. Oh, give me a bomb scene. Where like
landmine scene.
It's real quiet. Oh, so there's a lot of that shit going on and I'm fucking worried, but I really want to see it. It looks really
intense.
Land of Mine. Good name, too. A little double entendre
not
there.
Not bad. All right, yours. Your next one.
Got a good one.
Let's hear it.
Got a good one. The Lego Batman movie, or the Batman Lego movie. How do you say it?
I thought we were watching
Batman
that.
Lego movie.
I thought we were watching that together.
I can watch it twice.
Wow. You're ruining grouper night.
The Lego Batman movie. What Brian is alluding to is only for the ears of like 10 people who opted in for that.
That's for you, buddy. I'm talking about 10 people.
Hour and 44 minutes, the Lego Batman movie.
Damn it. I want to see this.
You're going to.
I know.
We're watching it for Make the Bald One Suffer night. Yes.
That's kind of nice. The Bald One Suffer is I'm not actually suffering. Although, would it be great if I wasn't able to watch?
You'll be
put a blindfold on me?
You're more than welcome to watch it. Another reason why I wanted to see it before is because I would like to imbibe that night, and I don't like to watch movies for the first time.
That's a good point.
So I'm going to be able to imbibe a little bit before. Take an aisle seat so I can run to the bathroom because I do pee a lot when I imbibe. But a Lego movie, Lego movie. All right, so here's the inherent problem with Lego movie. Lego Batman movie. Lego movie kind of came out of left field, kind of knocked all of our socks off.
Yes.
Most all of us.
Unexpected.
With the exception of my wife. We're very taken aback by this movie, enjoyed it thoroughly, right? And it was the last thing I was expecting. My wife's very smart. She just doesn't like to appease me and like things that I like. It's a constant battle. So you go in now to Batman Lego movie, Lego Batman movie, and I don't know about you, Brad, but Batman was, I love Will Arnett. I love Job from Arrested Development. Fucking fantastic. I love Will Arnett as an actor. He's hilarious. But Batman in those movies, in the Lego movie, he wasn't my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, he was funny, but a bit one-dimensional.
And immediately my first response is like, fuck, they're going to do a whole movie with just that character. And then I go in. But also, most of us who love Lego movie are going to go in thinking, expecting a lot now.
Sure.
It's the exact opposite of how we went in to see Lego movies. So you got to make all these adjustments.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a little difficult.
Set the bar high.
And at the end of the day, in a perfect world, It's a really fun movie, and it's got across the board appeal for anyone. I was saying to Logan before the show, anyone under 40, some of us like myself will like it nonetheless, but it's fucking loud and it's nonstop and it's an assault. And these movies nowadays, going back to Mad Max, it's just a nonstop assault on your senses. And this movie, there's very few quiet moments. And when it's quiet, it's funny. But it's what's most remarkable about Batman Lego Movie is it's just like a collection of throwaway lines. And somehow they got like the best throwaway lines and cobbled them all together and put it in this movie. And there's a lot of very funny, you're snickering throughout and you're laughing out loud a few times. And it gets not as deep as Lego Movie, but it talks about existentialism and interpersonal behavior and psychology, and it gets into all this. And there's a great relationship between Joker and Batman. It's a really fun movie, and it's definitely a movie that I think you can benefit from watching twice because there's so much going on. I was missing some of the dialogue. I saw it in like wannabe IMAX, and it was kind of, there's so much going on. It's easy to miss some stuff.
Okay,
so I give it a big thumbs up. Really enjoyable. Those are the two big releases that came out this week. Both very highly highly rated.
True.
Lego Batman for me just night and day with John Wick. But there's going to be people who are like, you know, stunt gun fetish dudes.
And John Wick also kind of delivers on what it promises. You know what I mean? It's like, here's
so what, does
here's
Lego what, movie.
But I'm saying John Wick, I can see why people give it a good review as it has a high score on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, here's what it is and here's what we're bringing you.
Yeah. And I mean that, we say that sometimes. I don't know how much.
It's wildly overreaching is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know how much truth there is to that. We do say that. And I think there might be something to that.
To what?
Like, here's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we tried to make. We were successful. But, I mean, if you say that, like, Human Centipede should have a very high rating.
Human Centipede wasn't bad. I'd give it a good rating.
Not a good rating.
Yeah, I know.
Especially 2 and 3.
Speaking of animated...
Which you will enjoy at one point or
Human
another.
Centipede 2 and 3?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Speaking of animated films, saw another movie.
Oh, no. You're going down the path of... Oscar-nominated animated films, aren't you?
Sort of. Life Animated.
Oh,
documentary.
Yes. You haven't
nominated
seen this?
For best documentary feature, directed by Roger Ross Williams, about Owen Suskind.
Yes.
Owen Suskind. Like I said, nominated for best documentary feature. I'm talking about Life Animated. Trying to be very articulate with our titles these days. People don't like
this. Was a bit of a surprise that this one was up for best documentary.
Yep.
I loved it. The wife and I watched this. I actually covered it for Cinema Dicks. And we got to enjoy it long ago, and it's still very fresh in both of our minds. We still talk about it.
Really?
The wife and I. The fact that this is up, though, and Gleason is not, is just troubling. But
agreed.
Move on.
Well, it's more troubling for me that I'm Not Your Negro is up.
Well, that's because of the racist in you.
It's true. I have a problem with... you bleep that out?
Now it's going to sound like you did, because you said I have a problem with... All right.
So Owen
he didn't
Suskind,
say anything, all right? Brian's awful, and he says things that he shouldn't, but just he's not.
Thank you for coming about. Bit. Thank you for coming about for me.
It's a bit. Bit much is what I'm saying, all right? Now go
you're a good dude. Not like those dirty. Thank you, Logan. I appreciate actually cutting that out. So Owen develops. Owen Suskind.
Shh.
Owen develops autism at age 3.
That's so weird, isn't it?
It is. Oh, it's terrible. It
he
is.
He slipped into himself.
Right away, I'm like, this is a tough watch if you have a young child, a 4-month-old daughter, for example, named Tessa. This is a tough watch, especially at first, because Owen is a delightful little kid. He's normal as can be, 2.5, 3-year-old. And then, heartbreakingly, he starts to develop a lot of autistic qualities,
right.
Which I guess is how certain types of autism, you and your wife, of all people, probably identified a lot with this in terms of the nuts and bolts you probably encounter.
Because we've worked with...
Yeah, especially...
Well,
you worked special needs for a long time.
She's got a cousin who's autistic, so she grew up with that in her
I
family.
I spent more her social work. Cause
and
I imagine
not
a lot
so
of
much so she works with mentally ill and homeless, but I worked in that population a lot growing up.
Yeah.
And I still see it at camp when I go.
So I thought about you a lot, and I thought about Owen Suskind as he develops these autistic qualities at age 3, and the heartbreaking moment where his dad is describing, is it modern, you know, modern day, his dad is describing how, you know, it was 15 almost 20 years ago. He's saying, he's like, Owen, remember, he takes him to a specialist, right? And the specialist is like putting him through tests like, Owen, can you say this? And can you do this? He's 3 years old. And the dad is pleading, you know, in his mind. It's like, Owen, just do it like he used to. Because Owen's able to do things that a normal 3-year-old can.
It's so weird that it happens that late.
I know. And then it comes on and he starts, he develops an autism.
So scary.
Very scary. They describe his condition as like life is moving too fast for his brain to catch up. I really likened it to when I was going through radiation. That's how I felt. You described it as it's like you're in Las Vegas all the time. And it is a little bit like that. Like everything's...
Or watching the Batman Lego movie.
Exactly. Can you imagine if I watched that when I was radiated? Right. Oh my God. It's everything. All the lights are too bright. Every sound is too loud. Everything is just a little too intense. Owen, to his credit, is indefatigable. He is relentlessly upbeat. The guy is always smiling, and not in a sort of, you know, weird vegetative way.
Owen
is the story basically picks up with Owen is about to set out on life on his own, being like moving out of assisted living and independent living. And it's going to be like a group condo home, a townhouse type place, but he's going to be more or less in charge of his own space. And this is obviously a very scary thing for him and his family, but he's 20 something years old and
it's time.
And he's got an older brother who his story is great. Cause he's like, you know, I feel responsible for Owen a lot of the time. And my parents are great and they do what they can, but let's be honest, they're not gonna be around forever. And it's going to be me, you know, taking care of him for the rest of our lives. And Owen realizes this and he's trying to be independent. And,
Owen is very self-aware by the time that this movie begins. Now there's a lot of backstory that we hear about with Owen. And it was fascinating to me that they thought that he was completely checked out. He never talked to anyone.
Right.
He never really interacted. They thought he was completely inward.
He was heading towards sort of a vegetative, you know, state. Like not so much, but he was just really withdrawn, wouldn't talk.
He would
couldn't
do
communicate.
Nothing. He couldn't communicate. Speak. He would just babble, and he would spend all of his time watching various Disney films.
Yeah, that's where the animated comes in the title, and that's where the story really picks up. The backstory, anyways, that Owen has this remarkable ability. He learned to communicate through watching dozens and dozens of Disney films, animated films growing up.
Which makes perfect sense when you think about it, because autistic individuals have a hard time reading social cues and facial expressions, and all that is so exaggerated in these cartoons. Mm-hmm. They use like with the eyebrows and like exaggerated animation
grotesque and not in like
the music cues and whatnot. Yeah. It like helps you along.
Absolutely. The facial expressions are grotesque and not disgusting, but they're exaggerated to a wild degree. You know, when you see the parrot character in Aladdin, which makes a nice little turnaround in the middle of the movie.
Yes, it's a don't go. It's great. So they learned that there's a bridge there, and through a lot of hard work, it was great. They were able to reach him. I mean, literally, like it was a rope.
Now Owen is
not literally, but it was figuratively. It was like a rope, and they were able to. With his Disney rope. Also, I really appreciated the fact that Disney signed off and allowed them to use the clips.
Yeah.
What dicks they would be if they said no, but we would never know about it. Yep. How many things have they said no to? But they said yes here, so they're actually using a bunch of Disney clips.
Yeah, really, really, really. It adds a lot to the movie. So Owen is actually... Like it's amazing. You learn that he's teaching a life skills class. He's the teacher. He's a life skills class to other people in the assisted living facility who are suffering from various degrees of autism. And Owen is teaching the class through Disney films. Like he's showing them film clips and saying, "All right, here they're telling us what." And it's obviously very rudimentary, but it's amazing how far he's come when you see home movies where Owen could not speak as a 3.5-year-old, a 4-year-old, to now he is. About as
progress.
model a citizen, not citizen, but model a patient, I guess is what you would say, of this group as anyone could hope for.
And it was really interesting watching him not only move into like independent living, but actually have to become an adult man and deal with things that we've all dealt with or are all dealing with right now, but with this stunted mindset that he has, but he was learning it as he went at a much later stage in his life than most of us have. But like the love and loss thing with the girlfriend, it's fascinating,
brutal.
And it's sad, but it was so nice to see him be able to figure out how to cope with things that he's going to have to cope with. It was a really touching movie. I really, really liked it.
Yeah, it's really good. One of my favorite documentaries I've seen this year.
What was his line? Like, one of my favorite things about mentally delayed, or however you're
challenge.
Supposed to say, mentally challenged. I think it's mentally delayed. They're always changing it. They're always trying to stay ahead of the curve so that whenever kids start using it on
mentally,
the playground.
Mentally retarded.
That's not what they call it. Okay. But autistic guys, autistic people, Asperger's, mentally delayed, they're all individuals. They all do their own thing. They all have their own quirks, and they're not pretending to be anyone else. other than like maybe movie characters. Right. That's all they can do. But they're so themselves. And like,
he seemed totally guileless.
He has a line in here where I think it's like he's talking to his mom about his heart hurting from a heartbreak. And he goes, "So I'm just supposed to walk these halls of sadness forever?" I think that was it, right? Oh, it might have even been better. That. Might have even been more flowery than
something
that.
Something like that. God,
he's such a he's got such a flowery dialogue.
Yeah, Owen was a great character. I'll never he's a real person, but in the context of the film, I'll never forget Owen. See Life Animated. I think, Logan, you check and see if it's on Netflix? I believe it is.
It's on Amazon.
I know it's on Amazon for sure.
Okay, cool.
It showed up on the IMDb.
There you
page.
Go. Well, then in that case, track it down on Amazon. It's a really good movie. Hopefully, I don't think it'll win the Oscar, but being nominated is a nice feather in its cap. Life Animated.
You know what's not going to win is Gleason. I'll tell you that much.
That's it'd be really unlikely. That's the longest shot.
All right, thanks everybody for indulging us in that very, very long,
very
spirited
long, very
profession.
Long professions.
See, I feel like maybe that should be the show. We do top five divas next week. You know what I mean?
Oh, interesting. No, coming up next, top five divas. There's only one kind of this breed. Mama told me to wall it out and do a good deed. Dudes give me a look when I come into their hood. Girls watching me, huh? Logan,
yep.
So you know what this is. What is an HTC Vive?
That's the top-of-the-line virtual reality headset.
There's a virtual reality system is what it says here. Is it what?
I'm the commercial where the old man's looking. Oh, yeah. Look at the moon.
You're swiping.
Look at the moon.
Gotcha.
He makes some kind of little
sound.
Have
you used it? Have you tried it?
I have one.
You do?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
What color girl do you pick?
What? Well, thanks to Logan or whoever bought the HTC Vive through our Amazon click-through link, the banner on AndersonandBryan.com. We appreciate other things purchased on the Amazon banner on AndersonandBryan.com include. Oh, does Atticus have Halo sleep sacks?
What the hell's that?
That's the thing that you swaddle him in. You put the Velcro over.
He's done swaddling. I'm done swaddling him.
No, Tessa was done a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago. But the sleep sack.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm saying that someone bought a Halo sleep sack, and that's all she slept in for the first.
You know what?
To be honest, 2 months.
We had some things with Velcro on them and whatnot, and they came with directions. I'm like, I don't have time for this. I know how to swaddle. I'll swaddle myself. I don't need Velcro.
It helps a lot.
Probably should have used the Velcro. He's always getting out of that thing.
Yes, yes. You showed them.
I didn't want to look at the directions, Brian.
Someone got an Asus portable lightweight Intel quad-core laptop, a Logitech Harmony Elite remote control, works with Alexa.
Say that because you just screwed everybody up who has one, though.
Oh. Alexa.
Stop it.
Someone got Spin Clean. It's a complete record washer system kit. I guess you can wash your records.
I feel like we've had this conversation on this year program during this bit numerous times.
Someone got an Xbox Live 12-month gold membership that renewed through us. Thank you very much. Bedtime. You forgot to renew your membership?
Yep.
Someone got a Bedtime Bliss contoured and comfortable sleep mask. Remember I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone got a... the Sports Sheets G-Spot Link.
I know what that is from working with Emily.
Oh. You really do?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a strap where you can especially if you're going from behind, you can like really control your partner.
Yes, you can.
It's like reins on her ass his.
Yeah, someone got the Pipe Dream Products Chocolate Fantasy Body Topper Sampler Pack. This is if you want to put chocolate on your person and lick it off, I guess.
What? Why can't you get like Hershey's?
Yeah, Hershey's wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Maybe this hardens and makes a shell. Mm-hmm. If you want to lick the chocolate boobs.
Really works if you're flaccid all the time.
There you go.
Hard shell penis.
Casino Royale movie poster was purchased. Someone got a grill, a Tex Elite 22 pellet grill. A grow light was purchased, a grow light system for plants. A 23andMe DNA test was purchased. A Bonavita 8-cup carafe coffee brewer. A Harbinger 60-watt 4-channel compact portable PA. 3-piece pub set. That's a drop leaf table, 2 stools, and a wine rack. A 60-inch desk was purchased. A Sound Asleep Dream Series air mattress. A PlayStation 4 Slim 500-gigabyte console. Uncharted 4 bundle. The Kaiser... someone got a pretty rad workout bike. The Kaiser M3i workout cycle. A Bowflex home gym. And the previously mentioned HTC V.
I need one of those Bowflex home gyms. Bad.
So I got the PR1000.
Bad. We need to get them as a sponsor because I need that bad because I can't go to the gym. I haven't been to the gym. I've been to the gym one time since the boy's
having
been born.
The kid really does cut into your...
dad body. You know now where... Why?
That's where I'm from.
I'm using him for squats.
Oh, yeah. You're doing presses and lifts with him. Military press.
That's all I'm doing. Here are the movies that were clicked through since the last time I saw you. Open your fucking goddamn update. You can't even open your phone anymore.
Come on, buddy.
But you won't let me open it. Yes, I'm me, dude. Let me open it. Look at this.
What are you trying to do?
I'm just trying to open the goddamn phone, Brian.
Do you know your passcode?
Yes. Here it is.
6969.
6969. Ha ha. Okay, there it is. Got it.
LOL.
Dr. Strangelove was clicked through as well. It's about time. Fuck the yes. Love Actually. Oh, look at that. The two-pack of Curtis. Arrival. Awakening. Spellflower. Down with Love Once. Pieces of April. Predator. The complete Toy Story collection, all three of them. The Edge of 17 already available. Holy shit. The Lord of the Rings 3-film collection, all of them. Resident Evil, Apocalypse, Resident Evil, all those Resident Evils. The Third Man and Top Secret for Brian.
There you go. Enjoy.
Top Secret. The cow's got boots. I'm done.
The cow's got boots.
The cow's got boots.
What if we engage in a long discussion of Top Secret just to fill up the music?
That's something you would do.
Let's do it. Now let's go back to the show. I'm Voltron. That's right. All five elements that make up the giant robot known as Voltron. And you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. What did he do? It's not a great film. Hey, what? Time for what?
Oh, dude, John Wick has this thing that he kills people with pencils, right? That's his thing?
Really?
Yeah.
Is that new to this movie? I don't remember. That's the first one.
Yeah, I think that is referred to in the first one, and like the story like is talked about how it's. I guess I've already heard that story. Peter Stormare's character is like, he's telling it, and the guy he's telling it to is like, I've heard this story before, and then you got to pay it off, so it happens. Very, very violent, that John Wick, super violent, which is fine,
sure,
but it's very violent. It's on Valentine's Day too, and there's some dates there.
Really,
it's kind of odd, yeah.
Strange counter programming.
When thinking about that and holding a pen and you say things like Bone Tomahawk was okay.
It was
and
very
I'm holding
okay.
this pen, it's a writing instrument in my hand, and I'm thinking John Wick's fresh. Like it's dangerous, Brian.
You like to lunge at me.
I would like to get it in your carotid there.
That's what she said.
Hey. Brian, real quick, hey, I got a question for both you and Logan. I know that his microphone
Logan can just shout.
Is a bit delayed.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Does he ask no question?
This is a long shot. I think I know the answer, but do either one of you have access to an authentic vintage phonograph? Phonograph.
I have a record player, but not an authentic
record player with like the horn, no. That kind of thing. No. Okay, I'm going to open it up then. Neither one of you guys are helping me. No. Listeners, if you can hear me and if you have access, if you got a grandma, maybe she just kicked it recently and you became the proud owner of a phonograph. I've already done that. I've looked on Amazon. They're expensive, and I could buy one and then resell it. I'm just hoping to maybe get one that I could borrow, give it back, and it'll be part of the film. Because it's almost a character, Brian. It's almost a character in Groupers. The phonograph, the antique phonograph with the horn, super important. And I thought I'd open it up to the listeners. So if anyone who can hear my voice, especially if you live in the Southern California area, I would love to borrow that. Even if it's for a few bucks, I would love to borrow it and make it part of the film and then get it back to you. It's not going to be in harm's way. There's no stunts that it's going to be doing. It's just going to be used.
We have a stunt record player for that.
So I've already looked on Amazon, on the eBays. I got a girl, Abby. How you doing? She's working for the production up there in San Francisco. She's been looking, but they're reining in at around $1,200, and that's $1,200 that I would rather not invest and then try to have to sell it back to somebody. I don't want that headache.
I'm with you.
So if anybody's got one,
Amazon has a liberal return policy.
Amazon tends not to sell antique.
You want like a replica. You want like the.
I mean, a replica could work,
right?
But I don't know how many replicas they actually make out there, Brian. I haven't seen a lot.
Yeah.
I can't imagine much of a demand for a replica phonograph.
I bet they're pretty popular in like silver, like Los Feliz.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. There might be some out there. You know, everyone's got a dead grandma. She used to have one of these things.
Indeed, we all do.
What? I never knew either one of my grandmas.
Really?
I was raised without grandmas.
Oh, that's sad.
It is. My one, she died in a car wreck when my brother was in my mom's stomach. Yeah, my little brother was.
That's traumatic.
And then my other one, I just never ever met. She was just.
She's kind of floating out there.
Grandma-less is what they called me.
Was there some sort of weird like controversy? Not controversy, but some she was not welcome around the baby. The baby Andy.
She just lived far away.
Okay, I didn't know if there. Okay, so it was a distance thing.
Yes.
Like in another country.
No, just back east. All right, let's move on. This is getting sad for me.
This is getting very sad.
I only met one of my four grandparents.
Talk about us more.
Okay, let's move on. Divas.
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 Well, we should talk. What is your criteria for a diva?
Kind of use you as a model. Jesus, if they're kind Christ. Of like you, they act like you, they got a smugness about them, they think that
divas,
things revolve around them.
Smug and diva are not the same.
Oh, they're very, very similar. A lot of the time, divas are smug as well.
That
yes.
is true.
Yes. There is a crossover there. They're very self-important. If there is a fire, it's not women and children first, whether they are a woman or a child. It's them first.
Interesting.
And they're entitled. Yeah. And they think that their opinion is the most important one in the room.
Wow. I think we're going to have okay. Well, let me tell you what I found. Wiktionary, that is the dictionary version of Wikipedia, defines a diva as a person who may be considered or who considers herself, or by extension himself, much more important than others, has high expectations of others, and who is extremely demanding and fussy when it comes to personal privileges. Wikipedia says a diva can also refer to a woman with a reputation for being temperamental or difficult to please. In show business, having a diva attitude implies someone who is self-important or hard to work with. And the Urban Dictionary says a bitchy woman that must have her way exactly or no way at all, often rude and belittles people, believes that everyone is beneath her, and thinks that she is so much more loved than what she really is, selfish, spoiled, and overly dramatic. So
great.
I feel like very demanding, very difficult to work with, and bitchy. Whether it be men or women, that can be applied to males or females.
Ironically, all of that criteria fits on for every single one of my picks, with the exception of perhaps my number one, who is the most diva-ish of all. There's no denying my number one is a diva. However, there's some more depth there,
okay.
Perhaps.
Fair enough.
Let's do it.
Number five, we have clips.
I got clips.
You want me to go first? Or go
can
last?
You handle your clips? How many clips you got there, bud? You're holding up three fingers.
Three fingers.
It's too many.
Three fingers of clips.
I got two.
Too many?
Yes. I got two
is the right amount?
Right.
Okay. I should have cut one.
Last week, I think I had five.
You may have had one for each. You had at least four.
That was three too many last week.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's do this. Why don't you kick it off?
I'll kick it off. Good thing, because I wanted to go, with a great diva character, Samantha James, played by Anna Faris from Just Friends. But alas, we talked about the movie a little too much. As great as it is, I do talk about the movie a little too much, even though it's a great diva character. So I went with another one that's a little bit obvious, but a great diva character, and a movie that I'm so sad that you didn't like as much as I did. Miranda Priestly, played by Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada. I really thought that was a movie you were going to really like. I
didn't hate it. It just wasn't made for me.
I thought you were going to like it more. 2006,
it
Devil Wears
very
Prada.
Very whitewashed.
Directed by David Frankel. Let's just start with a clip, Logan. This is Miranda Priestly.
Milktoast.
Why don't you start about 3 seconds in, because there's a little bit of head on this. So about 3 seconds in. This is Miranda Priestly. It's a compilation. It's not a compilation. It's actually a montage in the movie.
How long?
Miranda... It's a little less than a minute. Miranda is famous for, she infamously must have everything her way. The office snaps into formation when she arrives every morning, and she throws dismissively her bag and her coat on her assistant's desk. And this is a compilation of her, a montage again, of her making outrageous demands, just more absurd after the other demands of her assistant. Let's hear her daily demands.
Well, good morning, Miranda.
Hey, Isaac.
I don't see my breakfast here. Are my eggs here? Where are my eggs?
Excuse me!
Pick up the Polaroids from the lingerie shoot. Have the brakes checked on my car. Where's that piece of paper I had in my hand yesterday morning? Girls need new surfboards or boogie boards or something for spring break.
Twins also need flip-flops.
Pick up my shoes from Blahnik and then go get Patricia.
Who's that?
The girl. Give me that little table that I like at that store on Madison. Get us a reservation for dinner tonight at that place. Get me a good review. Thank you. Thank you. Notes delivered today.
Yes. Where is
everyone?
Why is not?
That's good.
That was actually from the movie. That wasn't created for...
No, that was from the movie.
Right, that was actually like a montage
quite
in
visual.
The film.
Yes.
Yeah, this is like a movie that, you know, might help me pass time on a plane, but it's not made for me. I mean, you heard that. You heard it with your ears, right? Just all like the funky beats and the doo-doo-doo. Isn't this funny? Isn't this crazy?
Yeah,
look at this little woman. Isn't this hilarious?
It's not hilarious. No.
It's supposed to be funny.
It's supposed to also be showing that she's a bit of a demanding boss, but also a bit of a diva. She makes outrageous requests.
Where's that piece of paper that I had in my hand yesterday? Yeah.
Give me a reservation at that restaurant I like. It's anyone who's ever worked for a ridiculous boss knows these trappings.
You do.
Yeah, but I don't make him reservations at restaurants. How dare you call
when
me
he asks to, you just do it.
I do.
It's Valentine's Day, boss. Met us for
the... What's that restaurant I like? Oh, I know, boss. I know. Yeah, hand up. Like,
speaking of which, Brian and I have dealt with a number of divas together while we were working together, as well as splitting off, and we have seen the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's true.
I hate them a lot. I feel like it's my mission on Earth to let them know that they do not deserve what they think they're entitled to.
We worked with the diva, but not at the same time. Gary. No, never mind.
Who's Gary?
Never mind.
I never worked with Gary. Who's Gary?
Well, we'll talk about it later.
All right, because I don't know what the fuck you're talking. All right, number five for me. This is a classic going way, way back, right. But I don't have a clip for this.
Not talking about Gary Smith, everyone. There's nothing about Gary from the Corolla Show.
Oh, Gary Smith. Yeah. No. I did work with him for a little bit. Yeah, total diva. I know what you're talking about.
I'm not talking about.
Kidding. I love Gary. Gary's a good guy.
I'm talking about Gary.
Who the fuck are you talking
Logan, thanks for cutting that out. I appreciate that.
Like is Gary. Oh, good one.
Come
Brian. I don't know why I can't. I'm so far removed.
You are out.
I'm sorry for all you who might be in the dark right now. We can't. We just can't do it. But for those of you who aren't in the dark, there you go. I can't believe I didn't figure it out.
Where were you on that one?
I don't know. All right, here we go. Number five for me, Brian. We're going back to, hold on, let me pull up the clip before, there it is. 1939. The hipster in me is proud and happy.
Are there any dirty on your list?
Brian, stop that bit. I hate that bit. It's a dumb bit. Just for the record, Logan does very little to no actual editing clips on
this
show.
Week.
He cuts in the commercials and whatnot, and he cleans up the show and puts in the music, but he does not actually cut Brian saying things. So stop it, because some people are going to believe you, and I'm not sitting here being cool with you saying the N-word left and right.
When I do make edits, it's very obvious. Usually there's a big beep or something.
Okay good thing. Or a moment of silence.
Vivian Leigh as Scarlett, their daughter, in Gone with the Wind. Directed by three people, Brian. Victor Fleming, George Cukor, and Sam Wood.
We talked about this as I think a movie it's that apple that's hanging out there. I know I have to eat, but
everyone's familiar with it and you have not seen.
Well, yeah. I'm familiar.
It's all right. I still have not seen Gone with the Wind. I've told this story before. I saw Wind with the Gone because it's two discs and I watched the first disc. And yeah, it's hard to tell where it begins and where it ends. It really is. So I watched the first disc. The second disc first, and but
because that iconic moment
I saw it all.
With God as my witness, isn't that halfway through the film?
It's towards the end. So here's Scarlett's quote here, and this is me acting. I'm a very good actor, Brian.
Let's hear it.
And I'm so impressed when I'm actually holding auditions, rehearsals, I should say, and I'm checking out different actors, and it's just like even actors that I'm not going to pick for the film. It's just like you're doing something I can never ever do.
Well, I thought you were impressed with yourself. Like you can read against me. We'll read together.
So here's Scarlett. Here it is. Red, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do? And that's when Rhett comes in. He says, frankly, my dear, wait for it.
What does he say?
I don't give a damn. Which damn was, holy fuck, did he just say damn on the picture, on the moving screen up there? Holy shit. Mama, he said, damn, get that black man out of here. And that's kind of probably what was going on in the theater.
They probably said, get that
Brian, stop it.
Sorry.
I don't like it. I don't. So yeah, anyway, Scarlett, is there another line? No, it's not really. So she is a true pain in the ass. One of the first iterations
film
of it
history.
On screen, 1939's Gone with the Wind. Scarlett, you are a pain in the balls. All right. Oh, I like my next one. I really like my list, actually. I'm liking it more. This is one of my favorite lists from the last few weeks, I got to tell you. Oh, I like my list. Look at it. Oh, I like it. Got a couple movies on here that I never talk about either. Ooh, yeah.
Speaking of movies you never talk about, and speaking of movies that may not be made for you, I was doing my little research for the number four, and I was thinking to myself, has Anderson actually seen Major League?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Really? I like Major League.
Yeah?
Major League 2, big drop-off.
Yeah, precipitous.
I really like Major League.
Roger Dorn, played by Corbin Burnson, real diva in Major League.
Yes, he is.
Directed by David S. Ward from 1989. Roger Dorn is a highly paid baseball player. He drives a vintage Rolls Royce.
Right.
Brings his golf clubs to spring training. He dresses very lavishly for a baseball player. He wears a very unmasculine sleeping mask on team flights. Remember that on team flight, he's wearing the sleeping mask around his sleep.
He's a diva.
He's very much a diva. Here's our introduction to, it's not our introduction. We this is the most we learned about Roger Dorn early on in the film. Roger is at spring training. Look, you got the clip ready. Roger's at spring training. He's very upset because the manager is having them do all sorts of, sit-ups and push-ups and jumping jacks. And
he
Roger,
doesn't go for that.
Roger's a veteran. He's been in the league for like 10 years.
He's paid
like,
his dues.
I don't think I'm not really all about this. He approaches his manager, Lou Brown. He tells him that he refuses to do any calisthenics because it's written into his contract.
Right.
Lou, I want a word with you here.
Sure.
Lou Brown.
About those sit-ups you want me to do? I got it right here. My contract says I don't have to do any calisthenics. I don't feel unnecessary. So what do you think about that?
Lou throws the contract to the ground.
Does he pee on it?
Unzips. Urinates on the contract.
Right. I can hear it.
A very quick and efficient urination, by the way.
Yes.
Walks away, leaving a stunned Roger Dorn to contemplate, maybe I should do those push-ups or sit-ups.
Sit-ups, yes.
Yes, he intentionally dogs on a defensive play because, quote, there's a defensive play he probably could have got to, but he decided not to dive because, quote, and my agent and I got a couple of plans for after baseball. I'm not going to risk major injury or to face this property, points to his face, for a bunch of stiffs.
Right.
So Roger is Roger definitely thinks he's above everyone.
Yes.
He has outrageous demands, like I will not participate in setups or dive for defensive plays, and definitely puts himself on a pedestal.
I just thought of one that's great, but I don't think they've made a documentary or a movie about Barry Bonds yet, but he would be a fantastic
Barry Bonds
diva.
Was an absolute, he was absolute the diva, of his generation.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And it pains me because Barry Bonds was a San Francisco Giant, but he was very divisive.
Before that, he was a skinny Pittsburgh Pirate.
Skinny Pirate, then he got a giant.
Leadoff man.
Then he had a giant.
Leadoff man.
Gigantism.
Hey, even back then, he was a diva.
Yes.
I saw him numerous times at Dodger Stadium.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I saw one where he like actually went for a fly ball, and it went bounced off his glove and over the wall for a home run.
Really?
Way to go, Bonds!
Barry Bonds won several Golden Glove Awards, so that surprises me, but...
There's clips of it. I'm sure you can find the clips. I was sitting there. It was left field, Brian. Left field in the bullpen. The bullpen.
Proud graduate of my high school.
Number four for me. I like this pick a lot. It's super recent, guys. It's super recent. But this was a difficult movie to watch, but a very good movie. I'm talking about Maps to the Stars.
Oh, I almost put this in there.
Maps
now, wait,
to
which
the
character
Stars. Julian Moore's character.
Oh, okay, I thought you were
Havana.
The boy.
Sagrand. Julian Moore's character. If we were to do top five most despicable characters,
yeah,
she would make that list. If we were doing just female characters, she'd probably be atop that list. Mm-hmm. Julianne Moore plays a washed up starlet, has been drug, pain, opiates, you know, abuser. And the way that she treats her assistant,
that's
played
right.
by Mia Wasikowska.
Wasikowski?
She's so good. Is just disgusting. I could have gotten clips, but I don't even like to hear the way that she speaks. There's a scene where she's actually berating her assistant while sitting on her toilet. She's Julianne Moore sitting on her toilet.
It's pretty sexy.
Berating Mia while you can hear all the business taking place. It is a hard watch. And this woman is based on somebody that David Cronenberg probably knows, and the writer probably wrote this from experience. And I'm sure that a number of these creatures live amongst us out here in Southern California.
Oh, please,
Brian.
They're everywhere.
And they are disgusting. And this movie is very good. It's dark as shit. But the scene where she realizes that she might get a role because of a tragic accident.
She's so happy. She's like, it's not even happy. She's like, she's like a relief washes over her.
It was like her like prayers. It was like the same joy that you would see a mother get if her son like came out of a coma.
Yeah. It really was.
So, yes, Havana is just
awful.
And Maps to the Stars. Unfortunately, not streaming anywhere.
Yeah.
I got a couple of my picks are streaming on Stars. I'll let you know. I'll alert that when I get to those picks. But this one you got to pay for. It's a good one. David Cronenberg tells a mean, mean tale.
You know who? You know we're going to have a lot more of these people, of the Havanas of the world, because of...
YouTube.
So many, so many reality shows now come and go, and there's so many people out there who are getting a taste of
fame. Well, one of them's like a cabinet member now, right?
Yes, exactly.
What's her name?
What I'm saying is...
What's her name?
I don't know!
The chick that everyone
Omarosa.
Hates. Omarosa.
She's not a cabinet member, but she has access.
She's part of the crew. She's part of the posse.
Access. What I'm saying is...
She was on Loveline, pain in the balls.
Speaking of Loveline, we all know from Loveline, from the Corolla Show, from all sorts of things, we all know how these reality stars, they come in, they do their thing, they're doted on by publicists and such and such assistants and everything. But then once that show goes away, they go away.
Yeah, here's the worst
part.
Now
they're released just into the wild. Now they're amongst us.
Now they're amongst us.
Used to this sort of white glove treatment. Right. It's like, I'm a big star. Why am I not getting this treatment? And it's like, no, you're not.
It's not like they're just picked out of the crowd. A lot of them thrust themselves into these positions with like a demo tape.
Oh, they seek it
out.
And they
feel entitled to begin with. And then they're given a little piece of that.
Yep.
And Brian's right. Then they're released into the wild. And I'm surprised we don't hear more like just crazy acts that these people are pulling off.
There hasn't been enough time. There will. Mm-hmm. I promise you there will
been enough time.
No, I'm saying for people to get desperate.
It's been 17, 18 years since Survivor.
What I'm saying is now there's so many, there's how many multitudes of reality shows.
Hey, we can put them on an island.
Give it a
good population
years.
Going.
Yes. Give it a few years for people to get a little desperate. You know, start doing things they wouldn't normally do.
I look forward to that.
I do.
I actually
do.
All right, go.
Number three for me. Another athlete, a very obvious one, but Rod Tidwell, played by Cuba Gooding Jr. from Jerry Maguire.
It's a bit of a diva, huh?
Bit of a diva. Yes, Rod Tidwell.
Lovable diva.
I actually don't have a... Do I have a clip for this?
Lovable diva.
Logan, do I have a clip for this?
He's lovable. It doesn't matter, Brian. You can't handle your clips. I think we've all established
I think
that.
I sent Logan three clips.
Yeah, see, you can't handle your clips, Brian. This is what I say. When I say that...
Damn it.
I mean it when I say
Rod Tidwell. He is directed by Cameron Crowe from Jerry Maguire. He is Jerry's lone remaining client. His house is adorned with posters of himself.
Right.
One of them says, In Rod we trust. Mm-hmm. His entire character's arc revolves around a contract dispute. He refuses to accept a contract offer. He feels it is beneath him. He is unable to grasp that he's a head case who is difficult to coach. At one point, he literally walks off the set of a local commercial in the middle of filming, which... Knowing what, you know, just through you, what it takes to just, you know, put together a small film shoot, right. let alone a big, you know, budget commercial shoot, walking off in the middle of filming must be extremely harmful for the entire production.
Yeah. Well, the director's still getting paid on that one. And
oh, right. But
the client's kind of fucked.
How far back is it going to push the production?
Right.
Anyway, Rod
Tidwell. I heard a story not too long ago, Eddie Murphy, like they made him wait. You know, actors notoriously have to wait in their trailer for hours on end. They're well taken care of and you're getting paid a shitload.
That's right.
But he was told to wait for quite some time. And Eddie Murphy, this is, I think it was on Beverly Hills Cop. And then they were ready for him and he made him wait for the same amount of time that he had to wait, like 3 hours. He just had everyone sitting around and waiting.
Wow.
That's balls. I don't like it. That's
power.
Jerry Lewis, same thing on King of Comedy. King of Comedy, he played hardball with Scorsese. He's like, listen, because I think Scorsese had him there for 3 days, right. Unused, 3 days, just sitting there. You're getting paid, big head.
Yep.
Eat it. All right, here we go.
Number three. For
you. I felt aggressive to a...
Really call him in.
An old sickly man.
It's not nice.
I think I shouldn't have done that. Number three from... you know what? That can't be three. And right, I'm switching.
Thank you. You could have excised all of that.
Number three for me. This is good. Fuck it. For the sake of the clip, I talk all that shit. You can't handle your clips. I almost screwed Logan up. Here we go. Number three for me. I'm going to stick with it. 1994, Brian, a little movie came out directed by George Huang, called Swimming with Sharks.
Yeah. Oh.
1994's Swimming with Sharks.
I don't know.
Kevin Spacey.
Is he a diva?
Playing Buddy Ackerman.
It's a great character.
Based on real life Joel Silver, Brian. And his assistant, Buddy Ackerman's assistant, is poor Guy, played by Frank Whaley. Played by Frank Whaley. Here's a clip. This is about 90 seconds or so.
Boy.
Hey, this is a great... I think the Swimming with Sharks is a little bit forgotten.
It is. You're right. This is very much under the radar.
This is, guys...
Under the sonar.
One of his very first days working in a movie studio
office. He's
an assistant to Buddy Ackerman, played by Kevin... Played by Kevin Spacey. And here's one of his very first tasks that he was tasked with by Buddy Ackerman, which was to get him some Sweet and Low. And here's how it goes. And if you listen to this clip and you tell me Buddy Ackerman is not a diva... Then we got to talk.
Let's hear it. Not a diva.
No.
His hand on the Sweet
and Low. No. This is not Sweet and Low. This is Equal. Blue packet. Sweet and Low is pink. See? Equal blue, Sweet and Low pink. It's not the same thing, is it? I think they both contain the same... What Equal contains is not my concern here. I don't care if it has fucking fairy dust in it. What I am concerned with is detail. I asked you to go get me a packet of Sweet and Low. You bring me back Equal. That isn't what I asked for. That isn't what I wanted. That isn't what I needed. And that shit isn't going to work around here.
I just thought...
You thought. Do me a fucking favor. Shut up, listen, and learn. Look, I know that this is your first day and you don't really know how things work around here, so I will tell you. You have no brain. No judgment calls are necessary. What you think means nothing. What you feel means nothing. You are here for me. You are here to protect my interests and to serve my needs. So while it may look like a little thing to you, when I ask for a packet of Sweet and Low, that's what I want.
Yeah. Understood.
And it is your responsibility now to see that I get what I want.
Not a deal.
Am I clear?
Yeah, he says he's clear there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That is just a diva.
I'll meet you halfway and say that.
Meet me halfway.
Well, I'll say it's not what I think everyone thinks of when they think of a diva, but there are very diva qualities in
this
Bucky
is a little pipsqueak, like suited guy. Yes. Probably never had an original thought in his fucking life. He's just a bully.
He is demanding.
And a diva. And demanding. The reason why he's in his position is because he wants to be treated with respect. That's the biggest difference.
No, he wants to bully. I mean,
he wants to bully and he wants to have fear and he wants people to, like, you know, cower around him and treat him like he's, you know, a mighty deity.
Powerful.
Up on a pedestal. Yeah. He wants to be treated like a diva. That's what drives a lot of these successful people, because they have an extra drive. A guy like me, I would like to be able to provide for my family. I'd like to be able to make, you know, things that are stories that I have in my head. And I really, really want to do that. But I don't have that drive and that thirst for power like you do. So I don't climb and I don't, you know what I mean?
No, I'm not disagreeing.
But, you know, let's talk about In the Company of Men. Chad, in The Company of Men, played by Aaron Eckhart, great, similar character, a bully, a businessman, but not a diva, because he is just pure evil.
He's just a bad boss.
Right.
Or bad person.
Bad person, yes. A despicable.
I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
Swim with Sharks, a little
Benicio
del Toro in there.
The ending was a little bit
suspension. It was fantasy.
Disbelief.
It was fantasy. It was torture porn fantasy.
Fantastical.
I enjoyed it a lot. My hatred for the old authority over there. I think a lot. If you hate authority, you're really going to enjoy yourself some Swimming with Sharks.
But you're right about Benicio del Toro. Has a small role as the agent he replaces.
Kind of, he's kind of useless.
What do you mean?
He wasn't really used much.
He has a one scene cameo.
No. He's in it throughout.
He is?
Yeah. He's actually in the scene we just saw.
I thought he was in the beginning.
Kevin Spacey looks to him and he's like, "What do you want me to do?"
Right. My impression was he was just there to train.
Willie Mays. That's a line from Basquiat. All right.
Coming up next.
Buddy Ackerman. You know, I don't know if we've ever had Swim with Sharks. That's a damn shame.
That's a good point. This is a film that should be seen by people.
I think we had it on a list before, like Horrible Bosses or something like that.
All right, coming up next, shocked. More divas.
Color me with moonshine, making my eyes blind, too blind to see. And I find.
Anderson.
Brian, I've been envious.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
We've never had Stamps.com.
If you listen to podcasts, you've heard Stamps.com sponsor the vast majority.
They're smart. They know where their listenership is, and it's here, and we've never had them. And I was so thrilled to see them come on board, especially because I'm practically living at the post office these days.
It is horrible, isn't it?
Because I don't have Stamps.com.
Yeah.
And like the people. I'm there so often. I've actually made friends with some of the people that work behind the desk. I hate the people in line with me, but I've actually made friends with some of the people that. And I'll wait for my girl too. I'll wait and be like, "Oh,
go ahead. You know, I'm not quite ready. Go ahead."
I don't have to wait for anybody else now though, because Stamps.com is a sponsor. They're coming on board.
You know who your girl is now? Stamps.com.
Stamps.com is my lady.
What are you sending out?
Oh, the shirts, the stickers, the patches. I got like 200 things I got to ship off, Brian. International shipping takes like a month of my life.
Are there still shirts available?
There's some.
Oh, it's a commercial. Little commercial.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, Stamps.com. They are new on board the Film Vault, and I use them as well because I send out signed books to people, and it's a pain in the butt to send out a what?
Whose books are you signing?
Just random books, just ones I find, remaindered books usually. You can get them on Amazon for a penny.
Mm-hmm. Right now, you go to stamps.com, use promo code TFV for the special offer, 4-week trial.
Yep.
Includes postage.
And a digital scale.
Digital scale. You can weigh your food on it too when you're not weighing
packages. Yeah, weigh whatever you want. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in TFV. That's stamps.com. Enter TFV. Sign up today. With stamps.com, you'll never have to go to the post office again.
Glory. Oh, and Brian.
Yeah.
Speaking of weighing food.
Oh, an old favorite.
Don't even have to weigh with Blue Apron because they tell you exactly how much the weight is of the food.
They proportion everything out for you.
Everything's proportioned and prepped.
I was thinking about we've talked about Blue Apron a lot in the past and how much we like it. I was thinking about one of the best things is I used to... especially when I was poor, I hated going to the store to get if I needed a cumin or, you know, saffron or something for a recipe and I needed a quarter of a teaspoon, but I had to buy an entire jar of it for $20.
Oh, of course.
Like, oh my God, why? I've never used it again.
You see weeks later and it's in your fridge. Yes. It should have been thrown out weeks ago and you just feel like just money.
Many sauces.
And you know what? These shows, I love the Gordon Ramsay shows, and you watch them, and like one of the punishments is prepping. Like, oh, you are the losing team. You got to go prep now.
Yep.
Blue Apron sends you everything pretty much prepped. I mean, it's all in there. You got to do some cutting and whatnot.
It's wash and chop.
But yeah, it's wash and chop. Like Brian said, the hardest part is already done for you, yeah. And you get to learn along the way. And something I've been doing lately too is I go and they'll have six options a week, and you get to pick. It's like going to a restaurant. Actually go on their site and you pick which three meals you would like to be enjoying and preparing next week.
Usually, I have to make a Sophie's Choice and cut out one or two that I would think, that sounds
pretty
good.
Sophie's Choice is a little bit dramatic.
I usually have to make a choice and cut out one or two that I'm like,
appreciate you doing a movie reference, but I feel like it's
show.
A bit much, you know, Red Cabbage.
My point is, of those six options, four or five usually sound pretty good.
Tempura cod.
So check out this week's menu, you guys. Get your first
three
meals. First three meals free if you have free shipping, by the way, by going to blueapron.com/TFV. Blueapron.com/TFV.
Yes. That's blueapron.com/TFV. Blue Apron, a better way to cook, a better way to spend your time, really.
There you go. Yeah, welcome back. Are you looking at that picture of our friend?
I don't want to talk about it. All right, let's go. I got two very solid ones. I almost just freaked the fuck out and put Buddy like number two or number one. Yeah, before the break. But I'm glad that I stayed true. I kept the list.
You almost buckled.
Especially considering you're giving me issues saying, hi, he's not really technically a D5. As far as my criteria goes, he
doesn't bad boss.
Line up as a typical D5. Hey, if you work for that guy, there's no way you don't refer to him as a diva behind his back. There's no fucking way you
that's
don't
a good
do
point.
That.
Yeah. If he's not a diva, what's the Devil Wears Prada boss?
She's a lady and you're misogynist?
Your microphone is disagreeing with you. It's trying to send you a message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his microphone's being a bit of a diva.
Number two. Looking at my clip ready?
Yeah, thank you, Logan. That's a very good point. And I think it's because Brian's a bit of a chauvinist.
That's exactly true. Number two for me, yes?
Not only is she like a terrible boss, but she's a woman, so she must be a diva. That's kind of where your mind was going, I think.
She's also, if I can say it, a little bit of a...
Such a dumb bit.
I kind of regret.
It's just such a dumb bit.
I regret
it's
it instantly.
It's stupid.
Logan, you cut that out? I regret saying it instantly. Number two.
You think there's one person that finds that amusing out there? Like one?
Hey, you think that's bad? Wait till next week to do better with Bean.
No, we're not doing that next week. We do it before the Vaulties?
I did it in the Vaulties one year, and that was a bit of a mistake.
Right. You do it before the Vaulties. Yes, it's a little appetizer, a precursor. Okay.
Get it out of the way.
Yes.
Number two for me.
I do like better with Bean, though, and there, it has its place.
Silly. It's silliness.
Brian, stop it. Stop calling
it's
silly.
It's silly. It's fun.
Stop
it's just,
it.
It's gags and jokes. Number two.
Have fun with it. That's like an old white businessman. Old white businessman like going to a strip joint, you know? And it's just like he's all
on. It's just laughs.
Like,
it's
but
just
he comes
laugh.
Out. He's like, oh, that was a lot of fun.
That was a laugh.
And your dick's still hard, Grandpa. Shut up.
Hey, you've done a lot of voiceover sessions. Have you ever heard the expression of someone, a director, someone say, okay,
this time have fun with it.
Say it with a smile.
No.
Never heard that?
I could hear that saying that, but I'm usually the one running it.
Say it with a smile.
I'm usually the one running that, and I'm not telling you to do that ever. Back in the day when I used to do audio, we actually talked about that on the After Disaster, and we did it. We tried to do an entire show where we were smiling.
Really?
Yeah.
Say it with a smile.
I'm saying it with a smile.
See, it does a difference.
It's awful. Fucking hate those ads. I just got a little passionate there about
number two for me.
Sorry. There's one guy in town here locally on the big news talk station, and he does all of his ad reads with a smile.
He says it with a smile.
I hate it so much. It's like, dude, you don't do weather anymore. Stop it. Drop the act. You're trying to buy my gold now. Stop it. Okay.
Number two is
I once had a stalker. That's what he says.
Could also be considered a bad boss. He's an evil genius. Talking about Jacobim Mugatu, also known as Mugatu, Will Ferrell from Zoolander. Will Ferrell from Zoolander, directed by Ben Stiller. He's an evil supervillain as well.
Stupid, but he is
very
he
stupid.
Is a,
but given that he's also a male fashion designer, you have to assume he's a bit of a diva as well. Here now, Logan, is his. Here's his reaction. He's having a sit down with Derek Zoolander. They're having a business meeting, and Derek's going to talk. And while Derek's talking, as Mugatu is being handed a coffee and a foam cup,
right.
by his assistant.
Oh, I remember this. Yes,
and Mugatu has a bit of a reaction.
Yeah.
Well, when Maury told me what you were willing to do, I...
God! Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Jacobin!
Your mistake indeed!
So Mugatu, upon tasting, literally, it hits his lips and he tastes this too foamy. Mm. He throws a scalding hot latte over his assistant. And the assistant doesn't protest and say, "What the fuck are you doing?" He's like, "My mistake." So you got to assume
Derek Zoolander is a bit of a diva himself.
He is, but given that Mugatu is more in the boss/power role, mm-hmm. He fits the diva profile a little more. But yes, there are multiple divas in this movie. Hansel's a diva.
Hansel's definitely a likable diva. How was the second one?
I didn't see, and I don't believe I ever will.
You really like the first one, and it's on your list here, and you brought it up a number of times.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes rating on Zoolander 2? I have to assume it's in the 20s.
More of the same.
No.
I thought it was really bad.
I heard it was really bad. Mm-hmm. I also think I got burned
by the first one.
I think Anchorman 2 came out like a year before or 2 years before, and that was just so bad.
Anchorman 2 came out before Anchorman 1?
No, it came out before Zoolander 2. I should make you watch Anchorman 2.
I heard that there's a cut of Anchorman that's great.
No, the cut's way worse.
23%.
23?
Oh, so 23. That probably all lines up then.
That's probably why I heard it was good.
It's probably really good.
No, it's really bad, actually. I watched it.
Oh, wait, quick taste test.
What's that?
Just Friends. Good or bad?
Great movie. Mm.
So I'm looking for that Anchorman cut. Must see.
You'd be so disappointed. What if
number two for me?
I signed it to you.
Number two for me. This is a deep cut, but this is one. It's come up before, I think. I can't remember on what. Maybe it was Range. I don't remember. But 1957, Brian. Elia Kazan directed a little film called A Face in the Crowd.
You talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
A Face in the Crowd. No, it's been a while.
You talked about Logan.
A Face in the Crowd. So good. It's just so good.
I
brought it up. I don't know if it was on a list. I brought it up about how I was upset because it was a dog you can be seen thrown over the fence there. I don't know if I was on a list. Could be. Could have been. Michael Cole. Listen to Michael Cole. Calling Michael Cole. Was it on a list? I'm sorry. I didn't do a lot of my research at home.
I was
doing it on the road.
I'm not upset about it. I just want to mention that it came up
recently.
I don't care.
You know, but Face in the Crowd is a movie that should not be missed, should not be slept on. 1957, starring Andy Griffith as Larry Lonesome Rhodes. This is an Andy Griffith that you've never seen before. Most of us know him from...
What is that?
But this time, he is once again, despicable. This is actually apparently based on an actual character from the 1950s, Arthur Godfrey, who was a country bumpkin. So here's the story of Face in the Crowd. He's a country bumpkin. He kind of gets a shine on, and he gets discovered. He's America's voice, and people like what he's saying, okay. Even though he's just kind of, you know, he's of the people. No real trained experience or anything in radio world or TV world, but he gets this groundswell, right? And this is before what's the name of that show with Meathead? All in the Family, right?
Okay.
Where that was another case where the dad in that show, right? Archie Bunker, he wasn't supposed to be, he was supposed to be like a horrible racist character that people laughed at.
And people loved him.
Yeah, like he was speaking their language. And like the writers were like, well, this is a horrible character we've created. And he's not supposed to be like loved. They kept writing more and more.
He was the archetype for Donald Trump.
Quiet. It's too easy. So Andrew Griffith plays this Larry Lonesome Rhodes, and he's an everyman. He's a good guy. You know, he's a hard worker. He drinks too much, but, you know, he's a man of the people. And once he starts getting this fame, it starts going to his head, and it gets worse and worse and uglier and uglier. And I have a little monologue here, a little diatribe, not a clip. But it's going to be me reading here. Here's how it goes. It's Lonesome Rhodes says, "This whole country's just like my flock of sheep." And then Marsha Jeffries says, "Sheep?" And Lonesome Rhodes says, "Rednecks, crackers, hillbillies, hoss frogs, shut-ins, pea pickers, everybody that's got to jump when somebody else blows the whistle. They don't know it yet, but they're all going to be fighters for Fuller. They're mine. I own them. They think I do. They think like I do, only they're even more stupid than I am, so I got to think for them. Marsha, you just wait and see. I'm going to be the power behind the president, and you'll be the power behind me."
Good Lord.
That was his pickup line.
Prescient.
So, interesting character, diabolical character.
Where is this from?
A fascinating movie from 1957, where, you know, I don't think that they got... I, I am not going to lie and try and fool anyone and say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm really up to date with all of my 1950s releases.
Right.
It's not an era that I actually gravitate towards. I don't like many of those movies. But when I watched this one probably 7-8 years ago, a friend of mine turned me on to it. It's still in my head. It's one of my favorites from that era. I love it. A Face in the Crowd. Not available streaming. You got to drop down like $2-3 if you want to see it or send away for it.
I'm looking for it right now. Oh, you can rent it on Amazon for $3. Oh, like I said, it's on probably iTunes for
SD.
$3.
Probably $4 for HD. They nickel and dime HD. You, Brian. They nickel and
$3.99 on iTunes. Yeah, okay. Listen, if it's as good as you say, then
it is very good. I wonder what I had it on a couple weeks ago. Wonder how it came up. Anyway, it's a Face in the Crowd.
You can search AndersonandBrian.com if you really want to know.
And then, you know, this is helmed by Kazan, Ilya Kazan, who did he did The Streetcar Named Desire. He did On the Waterfront, East of Eden. Mm. The man knows how to make a mean picture.
He does.
No. Those are all household names. This one, not so much. This one, great, though.
That was your number two.
That was number two right there.
My number one is also from the 1950s. Digging back into the classics. Maybe a little too obvious, but sometimes the obvious has to be honored. Number one, Norma Desmond. Gloria Swanson from Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Norma Desmond is a archetypal.
She invented diva.
Yes,
before opera
screen diva
somehow.
Directed by Billy Wilder, Sunset Boulevard, 1950. You've seen Sunset Boulevard? Yes?
Oh yeah,
I have to assume.
It was film school.
You worked your way through the AFI.
Yeah, I watched it on my own, I believe, and I also had to see it in film school, so I've seen it a couple times. It's very good. It's
really
one of those movies that feels like it's homework, but once you start watching, it's that's most of Billy Wilder's collection is kind of can be described that way. It's like shit, I don't want to watch it. It looks old and boring and stale, but it's fucking great.
I think you'd enjoy this movie.
He's
today.
A great director.
Yeah, Sunset Boulevard. Of our starring Gloria Swanson as Norma Desmond. So Norma Desmond is a star of the silent era. She's convinced that she's a huge star, big as she ever was. In reality, she's a recluse. She never leaves her house. She lives a solitary, sad existence. Her famous lines, she has many famous lines, including the one from "I'm ready for my close up, Mr. DeVille,"
right,
or whatever, however that one goes. But the one that's really key is, "Hey, you're Norma Desmond. You used to be big." She's like, "I'm still big. Yes. It's the pictures that got small."
Right.
So there's as many examples of her diva. She encompasses a very diva-esque lifestyle. She has a very high opinion of herself. She constant
pampering.
That's what
handling.
Yes, thank you. Constant handling from her assistants
handlers.
And her people. She's an archetypal
she's
diva.
Number one, huh?
Number one.
Can't believe we didn't have any crossover. Yeah. This is shocking. Because it's not, like I said, it's not a real fruitful category. And however, this is another one of those ones where I'll probably think of some down the road, or listeners will say, "How would you not do?" I hate that when I get those emails. "How would you not have this?" It's like, fuck, you're right. Shit, I want to go back in time.
What is your number one?
God, if I had a time machine, I would just spend all my time going back
in
time on the film vault. Yeah, like, see ya. Going back to 2003. Oh, I fucked
so
up.
Good.
All right, number one for me. You know what? We're just going to play a clip. I'm assuming this has to be the listener's number one as well. Let's just play a clip. I think I told you where to kind of... We'll leave him going while I kind of talk a little bit about this movie that has come up before. But we're going to listen to the first, I believe, 30 seconds of this glorious mashup that I saw where somebody pulled all of Ruby Rhodes' best clips. Here we go.
All night long. All night long. All night. Ooh, will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary? It must be green, okay? Okay?
Can I talk to you for a second? Mm-hmm. Can I just talk to you?
Ladies and gentlemen, something's happening here. I think we've been attacked. I don't know who they are, but they're everywhere. Wait a minute. Did somebody hear this? Come and get me. I'm in the first row.
You can take it down. This goes on. You can keep playing it, though. Yeah, keep playing it. I was going to have you keep playing it. Whatever. It's like a 5 minutes of just glory of Ruby Rhodes from The Fifth Element, Luc Besson's masterpiece. Yes, I said masterpiece, Brian.
Where the hell is Chris Tucker?
5-star. Oh, well, he found Jesus, which doesn't have much of a sense of humor, evidently, and he kind of scaled it back. And I've seen him a few times talking about Michael Jackson, doing Michael Jackson on stage. I guess he does a stage show again, but it's not the same as it was. He had a moment. He peaked, and he peaked hard.
He was
fucking
everywhere.
Great.
He had a stand-up special come out within the past year. It wasn't very good, though.
That was the Michael Jackson one, I think, right? Where he's doing a lot of Michael
Jackson.
Yeah.
That was a good bit of it, but Altogether, it was okay.
Yeah, he kind of scaled it back when he found, geez, I don't think he would do a role like this again because he has to cuss, he has to dress like a woman, and he. I think that he just, this is what I've heard. And I've heard also that he is a diva in real life. But in this film, he plays the a diva with such energy. It's like nothing that most of us had ever seen before. He's supposed to be a star from the distant future where the flying cars are a reality, and he's dealing with these aliens, and he just nailed it. And this is a movie that I would have enjoyed, and because I remember not... I remember thinking it just looked awful. It looked like hacky,
it looked
sci-fi,
confused,
bullshit
yeah.
movie with Bruce Willis. And I ended up loving it. And a lot of the reason, a full star of the five stars that I give this movie belongs to that character. Yeah. He is fantastic. So
I like to think Chris Tucker is having cashed in on Rush Hour 2, you know, like made a good payday. And then hopefully he's just... living
I'm sure he's had
under his means
quite a number of paydays. He made a couple Rush Hours, right?
Well, there
Rush Hour 1,
Rush
Hour 2.
That's what I'm saying. For Rush Hour 2,
there's three of them.
Oh, there's three. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm sure he made
Friday 2.
I'm sure they'll make a fourth one at some
Friday
point too.
Kind of a low budget movie though.
Yeah, and I doubt he got like deferment. So you're right.
That said, I hope he's living large.
Anyways, guys, how could that not be on your list?
It's a little obvious, but you're right. I think this will be on the listener list. Let's hear the listener top five.
A little obvious. Look at you.
Actually, there wasn't a whole lot of diversity. Actually, there was a lot of diversity in the list, but not a whole lot of
unanimity.
Not multiples.
Exactly.
Not multiples.
There was only two names that came up multiple times.
So this is a list of two, huh?
I'll just give you a list of two.
The least we might listen to hear from the listeners is better.
The most voted on as... The most voted on diva is Ruby Road.
I've never heard of that. Who is that? What movie is that? What's it called?
You should see it. It's really good.
Yeah.
And coming in second place is Brian Bishop. The only other name mentioned multiple times.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Thanks, guys. That really brought a smile to my face. I'm talking with a smile now.
You really are. Say it with a smile. You know what? You can say a lot. There's a lot of valid criticisms of me. I will open myself up to a lot of valid criticisms.
Brian, you know what?
Diva is not
another thing about divas. Much like hipsters, is they divas would never admit to being a diva.
No, I think. Oh no,
we work with somebody.
Carrie knows she's a diva.
She goes for that. That's a part of her branding. People that are actual divas, and we've worked with one. We'll talk about off air. He has no idea he's a diva. And I'm not talking about Corolla. No idea.
All right.
Divas don't know.
Now
much like you.
I'm curious to know.
Much like you.
I'm
you
not,
have no
how
idea.
How dare you.
Brian, when you have demands. And,
what? Please name.
I understand what you're saying.
My outrageous demands include, please send me a version of this movie that I could watch.
Oh, yeah. And then you get.
Wildly outrageous.
Brian, you don't realize it, but you're like, everyone come to me and meet on my terms. It's fine. You know what? I've grown to accept you for who you are. I love you, bud. But yeah, you're a diva.
I'll meet anytime, anywhere.
All right. Cool.
As long as it's here.
This is not a convenient part of town, but we all abide.
All right, let's... also-rans? Also-rans? Any also-rans? I just put Veruca Salt on a list, and she could have very easily been a diva.
Oh, she's a total diva.
Yeah. Oh, what's... No. Goldie Hawn from Overboard. What's her name? Shelley Long from True Beverly Hills. Whitney Houston from The Bodyguard is literally a diva.
Still have not seen True Beverly Hills. Still have not seen that.
I really haven't seen that.
Well, stop it. I didn't want to. God, I'm stupid. Seen that. I'm a dumb person.
Maps of the Stars, of course. Amadeus could have made the list. Amadeus is a bit of a diva.
Oh, he was.
Patton actually refers to himself as a diva.
Patton
in the movie.
Does.
Yes, he does. I know I'm a bit of a diva. And I could have made a case for Ace Rothstein from Casino. He's a remember he demands the blueberries and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's also just kind of a taskmaster.
I feel like we're Connor. 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 Connor from From Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Good one.
Pop star.
Damn
he's
it.
A total diva.
Summer
too recent.
Too recent.
Though.
Too recent.
Jafar from Aladdin, of all the Maleficent and Ursula, all the Disney divas. I think Jafar is probably one of my favorites. Jessica Rabbit, I should say. She's a diva, right? She's a diva.
Yeah. She's a film fatale.
I don't like that movie enough to have her on a list. Funny Girl, Babs and Funny Girl, total diva.
Yeah,
she was one
call.
Of the first, as well as Hedwig from Hedwig and the Angry
yes.
Inch. I bring that movie up too much. But
I thought
he
that would have been on
your
list.
A diva. For sure, he is a diva. Usually they have assistants too. That's usually a tall.
Yeah, you got to have someone to abuse like right. on hand. Uh-huh. Speaking of which, Logan hit us up with some gambling.
That's good, Brian.
Well done. Last week, you guys gambled on.
Well done.
John Wick, Chapter 2. Mm-hmm. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 97%.
That's what I said.
40, and Brian, 77.
You nailed it? Wow, that's crazy. I don't remember that.
Currently, week after its release, the Rotten Tomato score for John Wick 2 is 90%, making Brian the winner.
Who won?
I heard him say 40.
What? He said it very weakly.
That's what you bid.
40.
It sounded like Mickey Mouse when he said it, but I heard it clear as day. Brian. All right, what am I going to watch there, Chach?
Good news.
Yeah. What you going to have me watch, Chachi?
Good news. Wake Up Ron Burgundy is streaming 93 minutes, a scant 93 minutes. I told you it was not good, but you chose not to believe me. So you know what? Now you must deserve it.
This is the other cut of the first one?
I don't know if I should even tell you what it is. It's the Anchorman had the subplot in Anchorman where like the panda's there and it's giving birth and that's the subplot, right, where they're all trying to cover it. Mm-hmm. The subplot was originally they were like chasing these bank robbers or something, and it tested horribly. Like it was like, no one cares about this. This is really not good. And so they scrapped that entire subplot and shot all the stuff with the panda and kept all the good stuff and made Anchorman what it was. But they had so much footage, they released it as like a separate thing. And apparently someone told you it's really good. So now
That's what I was talking about.
That's exactly
I
what
think
talking
that
about.
I was talking. Oh, it might have even been. Do you know what I'm talking about, Logan? No, I think Anchorman 2. Maybe there was like a whole. They took a bunch of stuff that didn't fit into the first one, and they made like a whole another movie with all those bits. I heard something about that.
I don't think that's what it is.
All right. Well, I can't wait to watch this throwaway piece of shit.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, though.
The second one.
There's an Anchorman 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Hang on.
There's a lot of Anchorman footage.
Oh, Kevin Corrigan.
An alternate version of Anchorman 2.
Your buddy Kevin Corrigan.
It makes sense because I could see Will.
Oh, the unrated.
Yeah, that's not in it.
Yeah, I've heard the uncut is a very different movie.
And then there's the supersized version, which is a whole half hour extra.
Because I think there's a lot of ad-libbing going on, right? A lot of off-the-page stuff. And probably. They probably just roll. And he's so funny. Look at this. And it's just like people stifling their laughter off camera. Mm. Ugh. It's hard not to some of these people not to just become divas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When everyone just asked, like we saw it firsthand when we were working with Dr. Drew. Every night people just come in and be like, I don't know how you do it, doctor. You're so amazing. You're such a professional. You work so many jobs. How do you do it? He's like, I know. You have a triplets. Oh my god, it's just it's unbelievable. It's just, may I speak with you in the hall? I have something I'd like to do.
Bonaducci, you're a heavy smoker.
Fucking, I got so tired of that every goddamn night, and him with his fucking smugly preening face.
Drew helping
I love Drew, but this smugly preening, like, yes, I do a lot. Yep, I got a lot of shows.
Drew, always helping people, selfless. It's the worst.
All right, let's go. Let's move on with the program. Let's get it done.
All right, this week you're gambling on The Great Wall.
Oh, Christ. Have you seen this?
No.
Anderson's seen it.
No, I have not. Why would I see this? Look at it.
You see a bunch of crappy movies.
I choose not to, Brad. This week on we talked Oscar shorts. Oh yeah, Oscar shorts. Yeah, little XX. Mm-hmm. Cure for Wellness. Talked about that.
This looks really good. So I'm wondering, can I go a full 100, or should I hedge my bets and go like 98?
It is one of these. They're considering it a because they know that it's probably going to break all the box office for a summer blockbuster. Right. So they're actually releasing it. It's the earliest summer release ever.
Okay.
They predicted it's probably going to run through August, maybe into September.
Right. Because if it's still making money in summer, it's still technically a summer release.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll probably eclipse everything by like April.
Okay.
Right.
Well, now I got to change my score. Can I do over 100?
The Wall. I wonder how many truckloads of money they took, they backed up to Matt Damon's front yard, or how awful that picture is or video is that the studio had got him.
You think they're blackmailing him?
It's something.
Yeah.
Either truckloads of money or something, right? Probably truckloads of money, but you never know. Him and a pigeon or something. Something odd.
All right. What's your guess?
37.
Ooh, oh, damn it. I had 38 and I erased it. I said 42.
All right, well, currently, the week before its release, with just 23 reviews, the Rotten Tomato score for The Great Wall is 43%.
Too high.
Damn it, I should have got...
Why are you upset, dude? You're...
No, because it's gonna come down. It's going to drop a little.
I think there's a line in there like, who built this wall? Oh, you know what? Fuck. I screwed up, guys. There's something I want to bring up real quick before we end here. Not that big a deal, but I did mess up. I want to read to you the tagline for Facing the Crowd. We all know taglines, right?
Sure, we did top five taglines.
Taglines are great.
Top five.
This is the most clumsy tagline I've ever heard. This is from 1957. It's A Face in the Crowd. Here's the tagline.
Crowds have a lot of faces. This is about one of them.
That's it.
Whoa!
What the fuck? How'd you know? Right. No, here it is. Tagline. Power! Exclamation mark. All caps. Power! He loved it. He took it raw in big gulpfuls.
Oh.
He liked the taste.
Get that drop.
The way it mixed with the bourbons.
Jesus Christ.
And the sin in his blood.
It's a long tagline.
What the fuck kind of a tagline is that?
Not to mention, I don't think it would fit on a tweet.
Not fit on a tweet. They had very little foresight. Yeah, okay.
Thanks, everyone.
I'm glad I got to squeeze that in. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Was this good for you? Oh, that's a different show.
Thanks, Riley. In Vietnam, by the way, sent us the listener arc this week.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Is that something problematic? It's pretty good.
Why Juicy Juice? Good.
Who is that? Is that you?
Is that your Juice?
Oh, Juice!
How do you not know about Juice?
Because I couldn't tell it was me. That's exactly. I couldn't tell it was me.
Is it half you, half Logan?
I think that's half me, half Brad Pitt.
I think he has the Brad Pitt peach fuzz.
Uh-huh. I don't like the look of you. You know who you look like? You look like the singer, Alex, what's his name from?
Hey, we're doing Film Vault.
Dude, come on. Professional. Hang up.
All right, I'll call you back.
Let's
in a
go.
Minute.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ, Brian.
She's in Germany.
I don't care.
Berlin, Germany.
No, that's a good point.
Thanks, Riley, for the artwork. We appreciate it. Check out AndersonBrian.com.
You look like the singer for Everclear. That's who you look
Art
like.
Art Alexakis.
Yes. Wow. Art.
He's a bald man. Close to it, anyway. Jesus and the Rabbis are our feature artist this week, along with Lady Pista, Gloria's Fold, Grover Anderson, Natalie Wells, and Tyler Scruggs. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter, The Film Vault on both. Keep clicking through this Amazon banner, guys. We appreciate it. And until next time,
we do it for Van Gogh.
Back in my place studying, quote unquote, you touch money, I stroke your hair, there's a lump in my throat.